All right, I think we have a quorum. It is 9:02, so I'll call to order the August, I'm sorry, 9:00, the date. It is the date. The August 8th Dallas City budget briefing to order. I think we have a quorum. To begin with, I'd like Mr. Gedane to give our invocation and do our national anthem. A national anthem, our Pledge of Allegiance. And in so doing, I'd like to make sure that our thoughts are with the Wiley family, with Charles' death yesterday, who gave so much to this city. Mr. Gedane.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, guide us, lead us in your will. Let us glorify you in all that we do. Lord, be with this council today, that we do the right thing and that we follow your will in everything that we do. Father, be with the Wiley family after their the death of Charles. Be with them, Lord, and support them, lift them up. Let them know that you are there and that you will be with them through this tragedy. Father, be with our great city. Let us do what you want done to move our city forward and to make it the best it can be in your will. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, before we get to the meeting at hand, Mr. Atkins, would you please tell us what's going on?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Mayor, you know, for some time, you know, when we have a budget workshop, we always look at the elders and the disabled about our condition. We are having one of the longest heat street in America, look like, and people, it's not... he's keeping cool. And we have a nonprofit here today, and it's with TLCG and Rita Greer and Tracy Chambers and William Chambers Jr. Well, Mr. Chambers, we come to the mic just for a brief minute. And they came up with a great idea. They are buying the 50 unit air condition, and they are going to give to the city of Dallas, first come, first serve. We are in the process of getting with the city attorney, getting with the Dallas County, and getting everyone together to make sure that when we pass these units out, that the liability to make sure that the people can pay for their unit and make sure that we're doing it in a rightful manner. Will you please tell us why you decided to do this, Mr. Chambers? Is the mic on?
Good morning, everyone. The purpose of us doing this particular project is, as you mentioned, the need. We're record temperature heat. The fact that being a for-profit type of company, the TLC Group Realtors, we felt our way of giving back is to start with the nonprofit side, which is called the TLC Group TLCG Centers. And as you mentioned, our vision was to try to give back to the southern sector, and starting with District 8, and to help the needy or the elderly in trying to help them cool themselves.
Thank you very much, Mayor, for that announcement.
Thank you, and thank you for your volunteer in this effort. Appreciate it. All right. With that said, I will turn the meeting over to City Manager Soon.
Gene Chipperfield, our
Chief Financial Officer will present the budget today, but I wanted to take this opportunity to thank her, Jack Ireland, and the folks that work with them. They've worked hard the last 4 or 5 months, and of course we've been working on this since January, but I deeply appreciate their efforts, and as we present this budget, I want to offer my appreciation and thanks to them. Jean?
Okay, good morning. I'll just go ahead and jump right in, starting on slide number 3. Just wanted to talk about the economy a little bit. We've seen 3 years of our revenues declining due to the recession that the entire world is experiencing. We do see some signs of some gradual improvement in certain sectors of our local economy. We see a little bit of improvement in housing and construction. However, the unemployment rate and job growth continue to be really slow and unimproved. So while our local economy here in Dallas is a little bit healthier than the rest of the United States, we haven't seen any sort of significant expansion. So despite this little bit of growth that we're seeing, we've been very cautious when developing this budget. We have used our guiding principles of being cautious and living within the means of the city to develop the 11-12 budget. We also look to the city council's strategic plan, basing our investments in the 6 key focus areas that are listed below. So then moving on slide 6 and 7, I have a couple of charts that break down the budget for you. The total budget is $2.6 billion, and then further we can divide that into an operating and a capital budget. Within the operating budget, just go back one slide, we have the breakdown by funds, our general fund, enterprise funds, and debt service, and then the capital budget is also split between general purpose capital improvements and enterprise capital improvements. And then another way to look at it is shown on slide 7, where instead of showing you each individual fund, we've allocated it into the 6 key focus areas for both the operating and the capital budget. And then moving on to the major revenue changes in the general fund on slide number 9. We don't see a lot of change in the revenues for the general fund for the upcoming year, a little bit more than $700,000 increase. We did see some reductions in the property tax base again this year. The budget does not include an increase in the tax rate. We did lose about 1.7% in tax base value, which is equivalent to about $11 million in revenue. And so since 2009, we've seen over 9% loss in the tax base value, and in revenue terms, that's almost $65 million. Sales tax, on the other hand, is a little bit more positive outlook. We have a forecast to grow about 1.6% over the current year's forecast, and that equates to about $3.5 million. However, we're nowhere near the $229 million worth of revenue in sales tax that we received back in 2008. And then turning to the expenditure side of the budget, same increase, $700,000. Some of the changes in expenditures are related to our public safety expenses, adding additional expenses for the second year of the meet and confer agreement, adding additional police officers to cover attrition and fire recruits, additional training, or adding the training for paramedics that wasn't completed in the current fiscal year. We have seen increases in fuel prices and electricity rates, as well as we have increases in some of our obligations with our public-private partnerships, the Dallas Zoo and the AT&T Performing Arts Center, and then some operational costs for capital improvement projects that will come online during the upcoming fiscal year. So I have some slides that are in a little more detail of what specific changes are included in each of the 6 key focus areas. So, of course, the first key focus area is public safety. And we anticipate hiring, or we plan to hire 200 police officers, and those will cover anticipated 200 police officers who are expected to leave during the year. So we'll end the year approximately where we began with the size of the police force. We're looking to hire 200 firefighters in the upcoming year, about twice as many as we expect to leave the force. However, what this does for us is help to reduce overtime expenses in fiscal year 13. Additionally, we've looked very closely at where all of our equipment is located in the fire department, where all the trucks and engines and rescues are located, and have determined that we can optimize the location of the fire truck and be able to, in relocating 9 trucks, we can put 1 truck in reserve and save about $2 million. We have fire station number 50 opening next spring that needs to be funded as well. And then also we expect the completion of the municipal courts renovation in September of next year. And one other thing I did want to point out that we left off the slide was that we'll be adding about 25 cameras in our crime hotspots throughout the city as well. And then looking to current services that are funded in the budget, all of your current public safety services are funded, all of your emergency responses, special operations, the various types of investigations that were done, the municipal court and jail contract. We also included funding for the crisis intervention unit, which earlier in the budget development process was falling below the line. And then finally, in public safety, we have some reductions of police civilian support personnel, about 49 positions there. We'll reduce some of the security officers at city facilities. We can offset this reduction by using more cameras and some additional contract security. We have continued savings from the meet and confer agreement. We realized $22 million worth of savings in the current year and have restored $8.6 million of those savings. So our second key focus area that we want to look at is economic vibrancy. We need to add some staff to respond to the demand in the building inspection department. Also, we're looking to improve the technology used by building inspection to help streamline our process and improve access to information. Continue to implement the 2006 bond program. We have a couple of projects coming online. The Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge, Woodall Rogers Tunnel will be completed, and the Convention Center Hotel will be opening in November. We are also partially funding $200,000 worth of historic preservation activities in the general fund. We plan to phase in historic preservation into the general fund over a 3-year period. Additionally, we are adding signal repair technicians to make sure that we can respond quickly when the traffic signals go out. Additionally, we need to restock and redeploy our LED light bulbs. We wholesale replaced those bulbs back in 03, 04, and 05, and so they're starting to exceed their useful life and need to be replaced. So our current services in economic vibrancy include your floodplain management, street maintenance provided at the same level of service that you are seeing in the current fiscal year, as far as mowing cycles, the number of lane miles restored and rehabbed for various types of streets, continue funding our capital program planning and transportation planning. We have our same level of staffing and programming in the economic development area, continue operating Fair Park, and, of course, operating our streetlights. So our third key focus area is the clean, healthy environment. We've added a little bit of funding for the nuisance abatement crews, the mowing crews that we have. If you'll recall, we lost some of our funding from the federal government that paid for our community prosecution program, so we are shifting some of that funding to the general fund for the upcoming year. We also lost an expiring grant in the medical transportation program for seniors, so that as well would be provided through the general fund. Adding some patrols in the levee to address the illegal dumping along the levees and also the Trinity River. And then finally, the Pavajo pump station will be completed next year. So your current services would include your stormwater program, all of your code compliance services, community centers, comprehensive homeless outreach. We are able to achieve some savings through some outsourcing at the animal shelter. Cleaning of the kennels will be outsourced to a janitorial firm, and then also looking to outsource our cruelty investigations. In the culture, arts, and recreation key focus area, as I mentioned earlier, we have an increase in our commitment to the Dallas Zoo, increasing support for the AT&T Performing Arts Center. Your City Performance Hall is scheduled to open up late in 2012, so we need to begin some of our startup operations next year. Vila Garden and Elm Fork Complex will also be open next year. So some of our current services include recreation centers. So some of the changes that are recommended there would be to close two of the recreation centers, Fruitvale and Marcus Annex, then operate four centers with partnerships with Baylor Healthcare and also the Boys and Girls Club. And then throughout the year, for certain periods of time during the year, 14 of the centers will be closed while they're being renovated or constructed. So those centers, while they're closed, will not be operated at an alternate location. In the aquatic services, we'll have 11 community pools, one pool that would be open for swim lessons, and then the Bachman Pool and Bahama Beach. Then continue golf and tennis, which are supported mostly through their fees. Continue your nature centers, destination parks. And then cultural centers are also funded at current level with no staff or programming reductions. And then looking at parkland maintenance will be reduced by implementing some privatization and efficiencies. We can reduce about $2 million. We'll also reduce the replacement of park furnishing and some other minor reductions in the maintenance cycles for mowing and litter removal. Also, your cultural arts contracts, those program budgets are going to be reduced by about 10%. The educational enhancements key focus area includes the opening of the White Rock Hills Neighborhood Library next January, and we also increased the funding for the library materials by about 20% or about $340,000. We continue our Thriving Mind Big Thought program. So all of your libraries will have the same number of hours each week. That's 40 hours at your branches and then 56 and a quarter for your two DISD co-locations. So while we are maintaining the hours at the library, we do have some staffing reductions, and we're able to reduce staff because we can add some streamlined processes and improve our technology, self-checkout, and other online access to your library information. You can renew your books online. You will see a little bit of reduction in your one-on-one service and reduction in the programs that are offered at the library. And then our final key focus area is your efficient economical government key focus area. So we've seen an increase in wait times in 311 this year, so we need to add some additional call takers. We also need to upgrade the technology used to manage the service request system. We leverage our funding for the City Design Studio as well. And then in our Human Resources Department, we want to consolidate the staffing and create a call center that will assist our employees and our managers with the most routine human resources questions so that we can free up our staff to work on the more complex issues. Your current services would include your mostly administrative services and contracts like our appraisal district, tax collection, audit contracts, payroll, et cetera. We do have some reductions in our custodial and maintenance services at city facilities. We do have a reduction in the funding required to meet our FMPC financial management performance criteria for our contingency reserve and our liability fund. However, we still, while we need less funding, we still meet all of our funding requirements. So looking at the impact of this budget on the civilian workforce, we have approximately 100 or so layoff notices that are going out. We are able to restore three of the eight mandatory city leave days for civilians, although this bill will leave the civilians pay less than what they were making in fiscal year 10. We're not able to fund any civilian pay for performance increases, and there will be some small increases in the health benefit premiums for both our employees and our under 65 retirees. So then looking at our other fee-based services, Dallas Water Utilities, as I'm sure everybody's aware, the drought that's been affecting Dallas needs to be addressed in our budget. We need to maintain our infrastructure and focus on making sure that everything is operational. We need to consider our conservation programs and provide for the future water needs. We have many aging water and wastewater mains that need to be maintained and replaced. Water treatment plants need to be improved. We continue our conservation efforts, and then we're also starting up the integrated pipeline project to connect Tarrant Regional and Dallas Water Utilities to Lake Palestine. So to achieve all of these goals, we have a 5.9% retail rate increase within the Dallas Water Utilities budget. So a $551 million budget for operations and about $277 million on the capital improvement program. Looking forward for Dallas Water Utilities budget, we don't know what's going to happen with the drought. We could have restricted water treatment capacity at our Eastside plant next year due to some improvements in the expansion and water quality at the plant. And so looking forward at rate increases in future years, possibly 7.3% and 6.9% in upcoming years. Our next slide is a slide that we show you every year that tries to quantify the impact on various residential customers depending on how many gallons used each month. The bill will vary. The majority of our customers are within these first two categories, 0 to 4,000 gallons or 4,000 to 10,000 gallons, and those bills would only go up about $4.14 a month, and then moving on, you can see the impact of other higher gallons used. Then the next two charts are a comparison of where Dallas Water Utilities stands in comparison to other index cities, how our rates look compared to similarly sized cities in Texas and also across the nation. So we're towards the low to middle of that graph there. And then we've prepared a second chart that shows where Dallas stands relative to our customer cities. So again, kind of in the same low to middle of the chart. Now, we don't know what these other cities will be doing with their rates. We don't have their new rates for the upcoming year, so they could that could affect how this chart ends up looking. Our other two fee-based services are sanitation service. We'll continue our one-day Dallas garbage and recycling program and their monthly bulky trash and brush removal. So we continue to maintain full cost recovery, and your monthly fee would be $20.25, so no change in that, and no change at the landfill gate rate for commercial customers. Additionally, we don't have any changes programmed in for the stormwater fee. Now I have a couple of slides on the state taxation law. And I'll have a more detailed briefing on this topic on August the 22nd. But just to run through this for you today, the state law requires that we provide public notice of various tax rate calculations. State law also allows the taxpayers to roll back to, or limit their tax increase in certain cases. So your proposed tax rate is 79.7 cents per $100 evaluation, and that's the current year's tax rate as well. So then we calculate what's called an effective rate, and the effective rate is the rate that generates the same amount of property tax revenue in the new year on properties that are taxed in both fiscal years. So it excludes any change in revenue due to new construction. So that calculated rate is 81.78 cents. And if we were to set the tax rate at that effective rate, additional $16.4 million in property tax revenue. The second rate we calculate is called the rollback rate, and this is the maximum tax rate that can be adopted without the voters having the option to petition for a reduction in the tax rate. What it allows for is the general fund portion of the effective rate plus 8%, and then allows for whatever is necessary for debt service. So the rollback rate is calculated at 84.27 cents, and if the tax rate were set at that rate, it would generate an additional $36 million in revenue. And then thirdly, we have what's called a notice and hearing rate, and it's simply the lower of the effective or the rollback rate. So in order to adopt a tax rate that's above this notice and hearing rate, the City Council would have to take some specific actions that are listed on the next slide, Kathy. So the Council would have to have a record vote to consider a specific tax rate that's higher than the notice and hearing rate, then schedule and publish a date for two public hearings and hold those public hearings as well. There's an additional notice required to announce the time and date of the meeting that adopts the tax rate, and then adopt this new tax rate. So if none of those, if any of those steps are not taken, then the maximum tax rate that could be adopted is the effective tax rate of 81.78 cents. So then we have the recap of the various calculated rates and the current and proposed rate, which are both the same at 79.70 cents. Then a couple of little facts on 1 cent on the tax rate is about $7.9 million worth of revenue, and a 1% change in the tax rate, which is about 0.8 cents, is about $6.3 million worth of property tax revenue. And then where we go from here is an outlook beyond fiscal year 12. We've been focused in this year's budget preparation, not only looking at next year, but also what happens in the years beyond fiscal year 12. So even though we've had a recession in the past couple of years, we have maintained our focus on public safety and economic development, living within the city's means. So we've had to make significant reductions in the past couple of years. And we are continuing to plan and invest in the future, looking towards the long term of expanding the city's tax base. We have several projects listed below that will have a definite positive impact on the city in the future. The Convention Center Hotel and the bridge and the Woodall Rogers Deck Park are all future projects that should enhance the city greatly. So despite our efforts and the slight economic growth, of course, we remain cautious due to what's going on with the global economy. And so these financial challenges that we've been facing, they may continue on into future fiscal years and may continue to have a negative impact on the city's budget. We don't know exactly what will happen with the commercial portion of the tax base. It could go down in the future and reduce our property tax revenues again. Sales tax has always been a very volatile revenue source. It's very dependent on spending within the city. And then we have some revenues that can be volatile as well, highly unpredictable at times. Fuel and power costs can also increase as well. We also have looked back at some of the reductions that have been put in place in prior years, and some of the street and facility maintenance that we have deferred will begin to see a long-term effect on our streets and buildings if we don't restore some of these costs. Also in fiscal year 13, we're looking at additional restorations related to the meet and confer agreement with police officers and firefighters. Additionally, want to look to also restore civilian employees' pay, which is still reduced from fiscal year 10 levels. We are looking to plan for the city's infrastructure needs and what type of debt service requirements there would be for a future bond program. And then, you know, also considering what strategies we need to help the city's budget in the future as well. So the next couple of slides are a schedule for the remainder of August and September. So tonight we begin town hall meetings. There are two scheduled for tonight, and then we have additional budget workshops and briefings throughout August and the beginning of September. There is a budget public hearing on August the 24th. And the first reading of the budget would be on September the 14th, holding an amendment workshop on the 19th and possibly on the 21st, resulting in a budget adoption on September the 28th. On the next slide, I'm going to discuss a request that we've had from the Dallas County Tax Office. The Dallas County Tax Office prepares the city's tax bills along with many other taxing jurisdictions, and they have requested that the city adopt its budget and tax rate on September the 21st instead of the 28th. That would enable them to issue the tax bills exactly on October the 1st, just so you know, taxes are due by January the 31st. We didn't receive this request until July, and our schedule has never assumed this earlier adoption date. We did want to bring this to the City Council as an issue and point out that if we do adjust the schedule, we'd give a little bit reduced amount of time to review and discuss the budget.
We're not recommending that you do that this year. It's just too short a notice to rearrange. We'll be happy to do it next year. It means, you know, 6 or 7 days difference in their getting the tax bills out. So I'm sorry. I wish we'd known sooner, but I just don't recommend doing that now because you have to change all your hearings and all that stuff. So.
And then moving on, the city auditor always gives his opinion of his preliminary revenue review at this point in the briefing.
Good morning. My name is Craig Kenson. I'm the city auditor. The city auditor's office is required by council resolution to review and verify the reasonableness of the revenue estimate that forms the basis of the city manager's budget. We have begun the process, and we're in the process of reviewing the methodology, the assumptions, and the calculations used in the estimate, which form the basis for her budget. We're receiving good cooperation from management, but we've just at the end of last week received most of the information that we've requested. So we're in the process of the review. Our review is continuing, and we expect to have our report out prior to the budget adoption in September.
And the last item before we conclude the presentation is a sheet that we'll hand out a copy to everybody. But we would like your input and feedback on what briefings you would like or what information you would like discussed in the upcoming budget workshop. And we just ask that you return those to Ms. Thum by this Friday so that we can prepare the presentations for you. So with that, I conclude the presentation.
Thank you so much. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on the on page 16. Can you go over economic development? It talks about maintaining the same level of performance on there.
It's exactly what we had this year. So same staffing, same amount of money available.
Okay. And I guess the question I'm asking is, how much money do we put into economic development to kind of spearhead economic development in neighborhoods, or to kind of work with those particular groups who are trying to do things in particular neighborhoods to kind of spearhead some type of economic development, if it's a franchise or something, to kind of help those neighborhoods who's kind of thriving a little?
Well, what I'd ask you to do is let me answer that one, because it's a really long answer. There's lots of different tools in the toolbox, and actually the council decides where those various monies go and what projects they go to, but I'll get you a listing of all the tools and all the possibilities, but we haven't reduced that at all.
Okay, so then what's the money amount? The money is still there?
Yes.
And it's to work with all
Yes, ma'am.
15, okay. If they can give me a copy of that.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay. On page, and on the same page on the streetlight power, how will we do that this year, different from last year?
No different. We pay the electric bill, and we work with Encore to keep the lights on and do the maintenance.
Oh, do we still have that person?
No, we do not.
Okay, they will go around and check the street outage.
We don't have that person anymore.
So is our lights, so we all up to complete, all our lights on?
No, ma'am. They're never all on. We do our best to keep up with them. Some of the council members are helpful about reminding us, but we're all trying to observe and report those out lights to Encore.
Okay. On page 17, on the levy patrol, why do we need to have a levy patrol and how much will it cost?
We are expanding some of the work that the marshals do on illegal dumping.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're looking for, is down in the Trinity Forest and along the Trinity to reduce this illegal dumping we're experiencing down there. And it includes, you know, the marshals being active, cameras being moved, and so.
Okay. Are we going to put cameras on some of those areas?
We already do.
Okay.
When we find one, we put a camera on it for a while. We may move that camera, but yes, we.
How much will it be costing us for the levy patrol?
I'll have to get that number for you. It's not very much. Kelly, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Essentially, Ms. Davis, it's two officers
mm-hmm.
for this first
okay.
year, and it's
okay.
about $150,000. With the officers and their equipment.
And it really is trying to keep some of that illegal dumping in that area down. Oh.
Okay. I just wish I'm not going to go into that. Okay, Mary. Okay. On page 18, we talk about the two community centers. I want to ask a question. With the MLK and the West Dallas community, let me go back. On the West Dallas court, Mary, now those three staff that was there, what's going to happen to those three
staff?
We're
consolidating that court into the Monroe Shops court.
Okay, so that court will be closed?
Yes.
Okay. And those three staff members will go over to the Monroe Shop?
I believe that's correct, but let me check on that for sure, okay? We're consolidating that court.
Okay. Now with the MLK, it's just the Martin Luther King Center that we're going to do?
The services maintain the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I need to get with you just to talk about the
okay.
center offline.
Okay.
From this. The park. Now they talked about the park from 40 of the park. Which park was they closing or reducing?
I'm going to ask Mr. Dyer to help you with that.
Good morning, Mayor, members of the council. Ms. Davis, you had a question about
yes.
which parks?
Uh-huh.
No parks are closing. Some of the recreation, we've got two recreation centers, Fruitdale and Marcus Annex will be closing.
That's the recreation center?
Right.
Are those the only two?
Yes.
Recreation centers?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, what do we plan to do with our parks? Are we going to start making them more inviting with different activities? The mayor had talked about that, taking the parks and making them more for health and fitness, thinking outside of the box, that's doing something different with our parks. Are we going to be looking into doing something like that?
We are, and when the mayor was on the park board, we actually had started some surveying of park systems to see which ones were the most important, the most visited, and trying to determine the ones that we maybe need to market at a higher level to engage people to help the citizens understand what's out there. Most of our citizens don't know a lot of what exists in our park system.
Okay. Now talk about, you have a program that I really do like. It's called Community Volunteers in Parks.
Yes, ma'am.
Talk a little about that.
We have several programs that, that engage and invite citizens to come to our parks. Community volunteers actually invite citizens to come in and help us with our rec centers, help us with programming, teach classes, which they have expertise for.
Mm-hmm.
They also help, ask them to come help us with children, after-school programs.
Mm-hmm.
And also we have a couple of days a year that it's My Park Day, where we invite folks to come out and help us clean up their parks. And it's been very successful. We're having another one this September. And so we're engaging the community a lot of different ways we have in the past, and looking very forward to seeing a real renaissance in the not just the physical infrastructure of the park system, but also in the actual participation by the citizens.
Now, will they run some type of ad in it? Because I really do like that, the volunteer in the parks in September. Will we run some type of ad or something just to let people know? Who don't have to go on the internet to look at it or see it?
We can work with Paul on doing some of that.
Okay. I like that, because I saw it on the board here at the City of Dallas, and that's the only way I knew about it, to get volunteers out to help clean up our parks. And I think that's one way that can streamline some things.
That's a great point. We do through the rec centers and through a website, but that's not that effective. We need to find a better ways to through advertising. So that's a good point.
So of all the parks, we're not closing any park. I mean recreation centers, but those two that you just mentioned.
Yes, ma'am.
Now the recreation centers that are open, are we reducing staff a little?
We are not reducing staff. The ones that are open will still be open the same hours they were this year.
And what was those hours? 20.
Typically, the larger centers are open. It changes with each recreation center community. But basically, there's an allocation of 55 hours for the large centers and 40 hours for the smaller centers.
Okay. If you can give me a list of mine and District
7, I'll do that.
That would be 55 hours, and which ones would be 40 hours?
Okay.
Now, Paul, the maintenance of the park. There are some parks that have heavy trash out after the weekend. How will we do that?
Well, fortunately, this maintenance reduction will not impact that greatly. We have done some efficiencies through privatization. We'll be working on that in the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, we've reduced our spending on our replacement of furnishings and equipment and the like. And so the reduction that you see in mowing and litter pickup shouldn't be more than 5 or 10% at the most. So I don't see the parks being heavily affected in your life. But as people learn more about our park system and they use them more, then the volume of trash and the care and that we need to take in our parks has increased as well.
Okay, thank you. On page 20, thank you, Paul. On page 26. Mary, on page 26, on the question I just want to ask you, on the employee's health benefit, how much of the increase is going up again?
It varies per category, but if you had insurance for just yourself as an employee, it's $5 a month. But if you have dependents, it's different for each category, but I can get you that chart.
Okay. So the the deals was where they pay up to what, $3,000? Is will that go up a little more?
The premiums go up a little bit for both programs.
That's awfully high. And you know, I told you about that. That is, can we not find anything cheaper?
No, ma'am. We do our we don't buy insurance. We're self-insured, and that's what it takes to pay for. One of the things we're going to do with our health benefits this year is we're going to have programs to address diabetes, overweight and smoking, and encourage people, because really we have to take care of ourselves. We pay for ourselves. So whatever our insurance costs are, they're based on what our expenses are from the previous year.
Have we looked at other insurance companies?
Yes, ma'am. They can't insure us as well as we're doing. So we've looked.
So what we have is the very, very best.
No, ma'am. You could pay for a lot more, but what we have for the money is very, very good. But we don't pay for a lot of the health benefits.
Okay, how much does the city put in?
About $55 million.
And then the civilian have to put in the rest?
Yes.
Okay.
We put in more than 50% of it, and then not just the civilians, but all the employees put in the rest of it.
Okay. On the civilian pay, there'll be no civilian pay for performance increase. And how many years? Is this, what, the third year?
Third year, yeah.
Okay. How do we look for next year to give them a...
What I was hoping for next year is we could restore more of the furlough days and the cut. That would be the first thing I'd do for the pay raises, because those are effectively restoring what you lost. So we restored 3 days, 3 of the 8 days this year. That means the citizens get us back working, but it also means employees get an increase in their salary. So the first thing to do would be to eliminate the furlough days, and that brings them back some money, and then eliminate the salary cuts.
Okay. What about performance increase? If they don't get, if they haven't gotten a pay raise, do they get performance increase?
No, ma'am. No.
Okay. Okay. At this point, now on the police and fire, on the group that came down here the other day to talk about their deal with dispatch, were you guys able to talk to them?
We're in the process. We'll be continuing talking to them until the budget's finalized about their concerns and issues.
Okay. Okay. Then I want to just ask, Mr. Mayor, two, and I'll be finished. On code compliance, can I have someone to come up just to ask me two questions on code compliance? Julie, on code compliance, I want to say this, it's gotten a lot better, and I thank you for that, but we still just have a few concerns. There are still highways in certain areas, and I can only talk about my district, as, you know, and overall the city looks really good, but in District 7, there are still certain pockets where there is highways. And we're going to go and kind of look at those areas. But what are we, or how we address those areas that still have high weeds?
We continue working with our crews, targeting those areas that we know are hotspots. And additionally, this proposed budget would include additional crews for mow clean crews.
Okay. Okay. Are we still looking at those areas? Now, those areas that have problems, highways, legal dumping, how will we address those? Because there are still some pockets that's like that.
Well, we continue, and code will continue with the same number of inspectors that we've had so that we can continue targeting those areas.
Well, we have some areas where the plaque has been out till they've just faded out. Just completely faded out. How do we address those when those areas where the flags just have just faded, they're orange when you put them out, but they're not like a hot sunburnt yellow at this point?
Yes, ma'am, and that's where I think that the additional crews that this budget would provide are going to be helpful in keeping up with that. What you're seeing right now is just the growth and, you know, the seasonality of it. In the summer, the growing season, we see more. The crews do struggle to keep up. We're putting, this budget would put more money towards those crews to keep up better.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. And then the last one is, Mayor, on arts and culture. I know that Mayor talked about putting together an arts and cultural committee. Did we put any funding in for those different groups for arts and culture and senior service?
The senior services are a little bit more than they were last year.
Okay.
Because we absorbed in the general fund a grant that was for transportation. So the seniors have a little bit, not a whole lot, but a little bit more in all their services. On the arts side, we were able not to have to cut some of the programs as much as we thought we might. The cuts were 10% for the organizations, and then the Cultural Affairs Commission will decide how that gets distributed. The cultural centers, their staffing and their programming are all exactly the same.
Now, sign for Big Thought. Is Big Thought, is Thriving Minds?
Thriving Minds is exactly the same, too.
Okay, so are they getting an increase?
No, ma'am. It's remaining the same.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mayor. Mary, on page 12, I have received several emails. People have come talk to me and visited with a couple of folks regarding the fire trucks realignment. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
We are going to The one thing we have not done prior to this budget is talk with the associations. We're going to be talking with them going forward. AC's visiting with them. We'll check to make sure that our numbers are and the things we use to the analysis are good. There'll be some more discussion going on. But I will tell you, we have not looked at how workload versus equipment for 25 years. So we need to look at that. We need to look at it every two or three years or every time we add a station, because you don't want some equipment being where you have less work and more work over here and the response time not being the same. We do need to spend some more time visiting and looking at associations and make sure that we've considered every possible challenge that might come up in there, but for now, we'll be going through that process.
So there'll still be some discussion there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Municipal courts building renovation, impact on the daily operations there?
Yes. Anytime you reconstruct, it's remodeling, so we'll try to minimize it. But
okay.
But that if you know you've been in that building, it's badly,
cold.
Badly in need of help. So.
So will it be done maybe at night? Has that been considered?
We could, but usually that costs you a little bit more. So we'll weigh all that, and we'll try to be sure that we're thinking about our customers' experience there as we move forward.
On 14, the 10 security officers at city facilities, it says greater use of cameras and contract security. On the cameras, then who will be monitoring those?
Well, sometimes the contract monitors sometimes will monitor them. The other thing that we're doing, and we started it last year, is shutting down more of this building to the public.
Okay.
In the offices that don't have interaction with the public and can ensure your security and the people that work here's security.
Okay. On page 17, Ms. Davis talked a little bit about it, the levee patrol to address the illegal dumping along the levee and the Trinity River. You didn't mention cameras, so those could be cameras, could be personnel.
Well, the illegal dump team uses cameras that move around, so
right.
I guess it could be both of those.
Okay.
They'll be using both of those.
Senior citizen services, I'm glad that's restored. Code compliance, Joey, almost lying. I think he's number one on my
speed dial.
Call list. Yeah, speed dial. I've had just a couple of situations where maybe in a vacant lot there's really high weeds, and then a constituent has semi-high weeds. They get a notification. They've taken a picture of, you know, when the inspector, I guess, has gone and given them not a ticket, but actually a notice. And then they go and compare a vacant lot three blocks down that the weeds are 3 feet, maybe 4 feet high. How do you compare that? Is the same inspector, could be maybe a different inspector three blocks away?
It could be that. It could be just that we need someone to report it so that it doesn't slip our radar.
The high weeds, the 3 or 4 feet high weeds, has been reported 3 times, and they still haven't.
Then
had
I would want to look into that particular case to make sure why or to find out what's
wrong. I have the pictures and the notification on it. Okay, great. Other than that, I have seen a definite improvement, everything. Usually the vacant lots that, you know, I go around looking at, they've been mowed before I even call in. So
thank you.
You're doing a great job. Just that one. That's it with code. Mary, what happens to employees when recreation centers are being renovated or repaired? They're just moved to?
They're moved to other rec centers to
back
up other responsibilities.
Follow up on that, how does the public get notified as to, you know, when it's closing, you know, what other centers are available to them? How do we do that?
Well, I'll let Paul talk to that, but I imagine it's posted very early in the center, and contact with the neighborhood groups as to what changes to expect.
What else, Paul? What else do we do?
It will be posted in the center, as the manager said. Also, each one that they're taking classes, the contract fee classes, the staff classes, will be notified this coming starting in the next couple of weeks, once the council makes their decision, then we'll go forward and let those participants know that here's some other programming options you're taking to exercise or whatever. Here's the next closest location, and here's the schedule for when we'll be reopening for classes in your center.
Okay, so we'll do that. Okay. Step there, Paul, please. Reductions in maintenance cycles in parklands, mowing, litter, removal. I know that you spoke to that, but there are some parks that are used a little bit more. And I've just noticed that maybe like on Monday mornings, on some of the bigger parks, will those be reduced as well, or how do we do those? Are those not all of them. The neighborhood parks, they're pretty much okay on Monday mornings. The larger parks that I've noticed that have the receptacles are, you know, are overflowing.
When we give you the litter pickup cycles, that's an average, and the larger parks, the more heavily used parks, we evaluate those every week to see which ones are having use, and so we move resources around the system to take care of those that are the most affected.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. On page 24 of the 311 improvements, I think that's excellent. I call in very often the 311, and so I think those improvements will be good. Page 26. With and Ms. Davis, you brought this up with no merit increases, and I like that they restored 3 mandatory leave days. What would it take to restore 1 more mandatory leave?
28,900,000.
Okay. All right. I think, and you mentioned this, Mary, I think that, you know, I think it's a little bit more money for the employees, but I think on the big picture, the whole city of Dallas gains because everybody else is working an extra day, and so other things can be done. One more thing, page 29, and I think I brought this up a couple of years, but I'm still going to bring it up. On the customer usage and range, if the average citizen or the average customer is using 0 to 4,000 gallons, and then the more you use, the more you pay. I agree with that. But I'd like to see either a challenge or an incentive for folks that are right there at 4,000 gallons and say, hey, look, if you do 3,000 gallons a month, we're not going to increase one penny of your water bill. So they find, I think they're creative, and they find ways of using less. And I mean, I just think it would be just a real challenge. And it's a, you know, they conserve water, and they get real creative. They don't get an increase on their water bill. And then the ones that use more, you know, I think increase the amount on them. But I think that, you know, how do we, and Ms. Coop, maybe you could talk a little bit more about that. If we're conserving water, give them a challenge or an incentive for folks to be more, a little bit more creative and use less water. So,
we'll look at something and see if we can bring you back.
Okay. Another thing, I brought this up a couple of years ago, too. This is one citizen. Now, I guess she heard me last year, and she, I guess, either has rental property or she pays the parents' bill, and so she gets 3 bills or 4 bills at her home. So she has saved these, and she said, please take them back to the customer service or water department. This is just one person, so maybe there are several people that either have rental properties or pay, you know, parents' bills, and they have 2 or 3 envelopes that are being sent, bills that are sent to the same address. Perhaps we could find out ways to save on this. I don't know. So,
yeah, Jody wants to answer.
Good morning, Jody Puckett, Dallas Utilities. A lot of our customers, frankly, Ms. Medrano, have signed up for electronic bill pay.
Sure.
That keeps that from happening. There are some rules about, we call them red flag rules, about who can be on whose account and those types of things. And so we have a lot of customers that have consolidated their bills, but sometimes if a customer lives in one zip code on the north side and another zip code on the south side of town, they'll both go out at different times. So we have to, we don't read those at the same time. So it's, okay, it's a challenge of how to consolidate those billings and who's paying them. So, you know, on an individual basis, we can try to work with that customer. So I'd like to get with you later.
Sure.
But the easiest way to avoid that is to go online.
Absolutely. But I believe that they all live within four blocks of each other. So perhaps maybe we could help this in this situation and save a little bit of money on postage and envelopes as well.
We do. I'll get with you. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I think that is it for right now.
Thank you, Ms. Medrano. Ms. Coop?
Thank you, Mr. Medrano, for bringing up the IT portion of the water bills, because I'm going to find it on the computer before we end the day and see all the list of questions that they ask you and all the information they give you. It's pretty overwhelming for a first-time user. There's no doubt about that. On page 12, we talk about the number of police officers. Is this an attrition number that we're replacing, or?
Yes. Yes.
So we were this past year and next year at 3 per 1,000.
2.94.
Right.
So yes, we're there.
So we're there.
Going forward, all we will be doing is replacing attrition to stay at 3 per 1,000.
Okay. And so that's what? Approximately 200
officers? Yes. We look every year and see what those numbers are, but right now it's about 200.
Okay. The crime cameras. I've been downstairs to see the monitoring of the crime cameras. Two things. Do we know where we're going to have the crime cameras? I mean, do we know
some of them are going to be, when you say hot spots, some of them are going to be movable. So you can relocate them, and some of them will be assigned by the police estimation of the hotspots they need them in.
Okay, so some of them are mobile.
Yes.
And then the monitoring of them.
It will be down there.
Will be downstairs.
Right.
And so are we increasing the number of people?
Not right now. We will if we get a bunch more cameras, but right now we're okay.
Yeah, well, it's something that if you haven't taken a field trip there. Have we taken one today, a field trip downstairs to the... I know I've been there, but did we take a... We need to take another one. Because the monitoring of them is really important. I know you can pull it back up, you know, at the time of day and so on and so forth, but monitoring of them is important, real time.
Right.
Monitoring is important, too, in those high crime areas. Okay. So can we put that on our list of things to do for the Public Safety Committee? On the water bill, the retail increase to 5.9%, and then you mentioned, and Jody, I think if you'll come up here just for a second, that you have, do you have a scale by which we can begin to inform our citizens that the water bills will be going up? I think the manager mentioned that in the next year maybe 7.9%. Do you have that already in mind?
It's at the bottom of one of your pages.
Not just next year, but the year after that.
It's in the bottom page 28.
Every year when we go through this process, we look at what the future commitments will likely be related to our capital program, which is really the big driving force behind our rate increases. It's also important to note that about 80 to 85% of our budget is a fixed cost. In the utility business, whether it's electric or gas or water, you have tons of infrastructure that has to be maintained and refreshed and so forth. And so it's a challenge, especially on the water side, to have a rate structure that recovers your revenue and incentivizes conservation. Many years ago, about 10, through the city council, instituted this fourth tier to help incentivize conservation for outdoor water use, which is where a lot of that water goes.
I think what I'm more interested in is letting the citizens know that because water is becoming more and more precious, infrastructure costs are becoming, you know, higher, that they will see a steady increase in their water bill over the next, now here you've got 2 years, but are you talking about every year from, or do you see that in the horizon of every year? Now I'm put you on the spot, haven't I? Let me just take it for 5 years.
A long range forecast of our infrastructure cost is a steady increase in the rates, frankly.
Okay.
Now what we usually do through this process is try to give a forecast of where we'll likely be, and through bill stuffers and town hall meetings and internet postings and those types of things to try to keep the customers informed. But as you all know, we're not an aging utility, we're an aged utility. And so I think that the investments that we're making make our system reliable. A quick example is the little town of Kemp.
Yes.
Not been able to invest in their utility. Their pipes leak. They can't keep their tanks full. And from what I've read, I haven't talked to that, seemingly their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to be the director, quite frankly, in charge when that happens.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I think is important to remember is our long-range water planning needs to be out to 2050, and right now we're out about 2035.
Sure. Right.
And so we're spending money on being sure we have the water sources for the future.
Right. No, I understand that. I just want our citizens to understand that the increases will be, it's not just this year, not just next year, it's really going out into the horizon.
I'll keep that in the back of my mind as we try to figure out how to have people see where we're going more readily, I guess.
Right, for them to understand that it's infrastructure costs, new reservoirs. There have been some articles about that, but I don't think people really understand. And it might be a good idea to spend a little bit of time on that in our town hall meetings about the importance of water and where we're going in the future.
I worry about it, so I always do when I do that.
Yeah, I know you do.
I'm afraid about it.
I think if our citizens really understood what the process is to repair our aging infrastructure, and water lines, but also for new reservoirs and for additional capacity, I think that they would more fully understand the picture of why there are increases. So,
Kemp has been out of water for 2 days because during the drought, the ground shifted and their pipes as well, they broke.
And then
so their water tanks leak, and so two days without water is a pretty challenging situation.
So let's kind of...
okay.
For your ACM,
we'll think about that.
Kind of an emphasis on that in the town hall meeting.
Okay, we will.
Streets, I was talking to Mary earlier. We've got this patchwork of kind of full depth construction going on, and not full depth construction on the entire street, but full depth construction in a patch quilt method. So, you know, at some point we're going to have to address that. Mary, you talked about with me earlier a bond election, but at some point we're going to have to address that. I mean, you just can't continue to do that the way, especially like on Hillcrest and Preston.
Right.
I'm sure
the strongest
examples of streets in your
The area. Next big thing we need to do on streets is capital improvements in the bond program. And for instance, you know, we can go one that I know a lot of you talked to me about is Lemon, and we can go out there and spend several hundred thousand dollars helping it, but first freeze we have this year, that'll be all gone, and that needs a complete reconstruction.
Right.
That's a $50 to $60 million project. So, in looking at your bond program coming up in fall of 12, there has to be a good portion of that capital invested in streets.
Okay. Parks. I noticed on page 185 of the big blue book, there's a differential. The mowing is going down, but the maintenance is going up. Is Paul here? Paul, what? I'm gonna have to get back to this. Second. I think it's on 185 in the big blue book, Paul. The number of mowings is going down from 4.5 to 4.0, but your maintenance costs, or your maintenance actually, is going up. If I can get back to that. Tell me what the... There we go. Right. Your average frequency of maintenance per park is, well, maybe that's an inverse.
Yeah, it's getting less frequent.
Oh, it's going, even though the number is bigger, it's getting less.
Yeah,
that's an inverse.
And then the pickup is getting a little more frequent.
No, actually, minimum number of better pickup per week.
One is cycles per week, and the other is the number of days between cycles, which are actually inverses of each other. One.
Okay, so tell me, how will the parks work? Let's do it
I don't think there's a big difference, and we won't know exactly. We think that's the worst case, but as we go forward with privatization, the efficiencies that we gain will then determine how much we have to reduce performance levels come next March. But at this point, if the efficiencies, because of some privatizations, come in as good as we think, then this is the worst case, and that may be a day or two of mowing and maybe a half a litter cycle per week, and we'll focus those energies on the parts that are the most heavily used.
So you don't think really we'll see a noticeable difference?
I really don't. I think we'll be in good shape.
Okay. The call center, Mary, yes, I'm thankful that you did put some extra folks in there. It didn't say how many, but with 20% hang-ups, four extra people. I have people calling my office saying, you know, I waited 20 minutes, whether that was really the case or not. It seemed like 20 minutes. It seemed way, way too long. So four extra people. Okay, that's great. And then on senior transportation, and you mentioned it earlier, that the grant program that we had for senior transportation has now gone away. We had it for 3 or 4 years. I can't remember. And so you said that the general fund is picking up that portion of it?
Yes.
Okay. Can I get some more information about that from Karen Razor?
Well, we've got it, and I've got she's going to look at it. We're assuming expense that was provided by the grant.
As our city ages, it really is an issue.
We didn't want that service to be reduced.
Yeah. So. Okay. So I'll look at this. I'll give it back to you.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Summerfield, thank you for your presentation and to the entire staff, beginning with Ms. Hill. Thank you for your work. Mr. Dyer, my first question is for you. It is on slide 26. I'm sorry, it's slide 21. Forgive me, it's not 26, it's 21. Mr. Dyer, will you help me to understand a little bit better the first line? $2 million through privatization. What are we doing? How are we doing it? What will happen to the people who are now doing that service?
To begin with, the privatization initiative is something we're doing at this point. We're putting together specs, and those will be coming out after the end of this fiscal year, in the beginning of the next fiscal year. So we don't have a good answer about what those efficiencies might gain us. We're confident that we're going to gain some efficiencies. We just don't know how much at this point. In this fiscal year, the $2 million reduction reduces some 80 positions. The good news is, because of what happened last year with the quick change in our budget and trying to respond very quickly, we've used a lot of seasonal workers and overtime, so we didn't fill up our manifest imbalance in our employee workforce, so we kept a lot of vacancies. And so of those 80 individuals in this first round that will be reduced, there's only 3 people. So we used a lot of seasonal workers and overtime to get the job done this year, knowing that we had a tough year coming and that if we fill those positions, we'd have to turn right around and actually rip those employees. So that's the good news. The 3 employees that we are, not only are we taking the seasonal employees that are working for us, we're going to try to find full-time jobs for them because there's a great need for laborers in water, in streets, and in stormwater. So we're working with those departments to try to find some ways to move those employees over. The three RIF that we have that are permanent employees, we're working hard to find them jobs in other parts of the city as well. Now that's the first level. Second level, once we go into privatization, we're going to have to fund that privatization, and that may mean some mid-year RIFs and more positions that are actually doing mowing and litter pickup. But we won't know that until we get into that, so there will possibly be a mid-year reduction in force sometime in January, February, March. At this point, I can't talk about that until I know what those numbers are going to be, but we will come back to you at a later date with that.
Thank you. You know, Mr. Dyer, as does everyone who has ever heard me say anything, that as a general proposition, I do not support privatization. As a general proposition, it sounds as if you've thought this through, but I will want to keep in touch with what happens to the people who go away as a result of privatization. Thank you. My next issue is, Ms. Chipperfield, is, it's not an issue actually, this is a compliment on slide 22. I'm happy to see that the library material will have a restoration. That is a good thing. Our libraries are being used increasingly, and this is good. On slide 23, there's a reduction in one-on-one service. To me, that implies there's a reduction in FaceTime. What specifically are we talking about in a reduction in one-on-one service?
This level is the customer service reps, and what their responsibilities have been over the years is to check books out is a big one. To get books ready for the shelf is another big one. We have, at the end of next month, all of our libraries will have self-checkouts. You can check out yourself. Additionally, we started purchasing our materials prepared and ready to go on the shelf. They're not, because we haven't been filling these positions during the year, there are not a lot of people walking out the door. And if everything were perfect, I would still recommend that you do some cut at this level because of the things that we have done to make increase efficiency in libraries and this level of staffing. Now, you know, if everything were perfect, we'd put some of them back, but not all of them. But they're not, because people have resigned during the year, there are not a lot of people walking out the door here. The hours can be open. I think we've cross-trained staff. There will be some reduction of one-on-one service, but I don't think it will be a lot due to the efficiencies we've created.
Ms. Hill, will it make a difference in the perception of the public towards our libraries?
Well, since most of them have been gone most of the year, somewhat, but not a lot. I mean, it's a balancing act, and we really believe that putting the materials, but working on the materials budget to restore it to its former point would be more important, and we're starting that as a gradual process this year.
Okay. On slide 26, of the approximate 100 civilian layoffs, does that include the 80 that Mr. Dyer referenced earlier? Or is this different?
Well, it doesn't include what he'll do the middle of the year, but it does include what will be done at the beginning of this budget year.
That means that there's only 20 possibilities over and above.
No,
the park.
He's got a lot of vacancies to begin this year. You remember he said he was doing it with seasonal workers and and so he has a lot of vacancies right now that he will not be laying a lot of people off.
I'm not with you yet.
Okay. Okay.
If there are approximately 100 civilian layoffs,
yes.
Is that 100 people who are on the payroll with benefits, or is that 100 seasonal workers?
100 people that are on the payroll with benefits. But what I said was there are not a lot in parks.
Okay.
Because he has vacant positions, he's been using seasonal workers and temporaries.
So this is 100 full-time people,
yes, ma'am,
with sick leave and vacation.
100 people that have a job that have sick leave and vacation. Yes.
Do you have any idea where those might be?
We can give you a list of all of them.
Okay. All right. On the restoration of the mandatory furlough days, this is good that we have a restoration. I want to follow up on Ms. McDonald's question. If we were to restore one day, you said, Ms. Hill, that it would be 800 to 900,000. If we want to look at that, where is there a possibility for us to get that $800,000 to $900,000?
You know, from experience, as we go forward, probably about the second week in December, we relook at our expense projections because they're made in the middle of July, and our revenue projections. So that would really be the only place to be looking, and I won't know for, you know, till after the 1st of September, because we'll have a different additional sales tax information. We might look at franchise fees on electric, because obviously everybody's using a lot of electricity these next 2 months. So that would be the place that there might be some additionals.
Okay. If there were a possibility of restoring it, I would favor restoring an additional furlough day.
Yes, ma'am. I would like that too, because as I said, it's a balance. It brings the value back to the citizens and it brings employee salaries back.
Yes. On slide 37. I want to emphasize the line that indicates continuing to invest in our future as a city. One of the most important things, in my opinion, in doing that is to ensure our quality of life facilities. I would want us to keep a strong eye on what we're doing with parks, recreation centers, our libraries, and our things such as downtown improvements. Those are the things that businesses look at when they're talking about whether or not to come to our city, including schools. That's why I want us to keep a good look on what we're doing with our libraries, because that enhances our education. People say, where are my kids going to go to school? And so I do want us to keep a strong eye on that, and glad, Ms. Sims, that it's here. On slide 37 as well, our street maintenance. I have this in my notes at slide 37. I'm sorry, that's slide 39. I agree that we cannot, on slide 39, we cannot continue to let our streets go. That will get to be a long-term difficulty. And so I will be in favor of certain large restorations in our bond packet. On slide 41, I want to encourage all those listening to come to the town hall meetings. Come and be heard. This is the proposed budget. We, the council, need your input, constituents. Ms. Chipperfield mentioned that there were two town hall meetings tonight. One of those is mine at the Thurgood Marshall Recreation Center. Please come and voice your opinion, not just to mine, but to everyone's. Finally, in the budget book, the first two pages, the first section. In one section, Ms. Sim mentions the names of those employees who have been particularly helpful in the budget process. Those of you who are named there, please know that I went through every name. I saw your name. Many of you I recognized, some I didn't, but to each and every one of you, please accept my thanks. The next page is from the Government Finance Officers Association and awards the City of Dallas a Distinguished Budget Presentation Award for the fiscal year beginning October 1, 2010. That says a great deal for our staff and the work that you do. You work hard to bring this budget to us. It is not all that we would want, but it is always at the top of the line. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hill, and done with great class. I think it's great to recognize people, so thank you for doing that. Mr. Carraway.
Yep. Thank you, Mayor. And let me, Ms. Chipperfield, while you're at the mic, where are those town hall meetings tonight? Budget town hall meetings.
Beckley Singer is what I'm going to.
Where are the Ms. Chipperfield?
So we have your meeting at Beckley Singer.
I do have one tonight.
And Thurgood Marshall.
Councilmember Hill's meeting at Thurgood Marshall.
I encourage everyone to attend both of those town hall meetings tonight. One at Beckley Singer, which is the one that I will host, and the other, Councilwoman Hill at Thurgood Marshall. Let me first say I spent the weekend going over this, and there are just several things that I want to just kind of bring up. First of all, to the library, folks know how much I support the library, and Mary, thank you for looking after the library. We still have a long way to go, our eyes are not shut when it comes to the library, and plus the library will be partnering, and we still are working it out, because we're going to do a book drive for the kids over in Nigeria who are without books. So that will be something forthcoming that we will be talking about. So anything that we need to continue to do with the library, I'm in total support. I'm in total support of all the senior programs, and Mary, thank you as related to that. So the seniors, we're not fighting as hard as we had to fight last year. So Mary, again, thank you for the hard work with the seniors to make sure that they are intact. Also, public safety. You know, for the past 3 to 4 years, I've been an advocate for cameras and gunshot detection systems, and we're finally getting to a point now where we are going to have these cameras, and I want to just make sure that we know that, and to Chief Brown and to AC, that those hot spots, granted, are the hot spots that we should have those cameras. I think it's going to help us in the city, all over the city. Primarily, though, I'm still advocating for even more cameras, and we do have some. We'll be moving around, but we need to have them inside the inner communities so that we can catch that inner city crime. In front of those car washes and those drug houses and the ill-fated hanging out and those things. We need to still find a way to find even some more money to buy some additional cameras so that we can make sure that folks know that we are a city of zero tolerance, safe, and a lot of fun. And the more that we demonstrate that, and the more that folks feel safe within their own communities, safer, the better it's going to be. So I still am not satisfied with the number of cameras that we have. I'm very pleased that we're keeping our 200 police officers, but I'm still not satisfied with the number of cameras at this particular point. I think that corporately, and I say this to the mayor, we need to, and I'll assist everywhere possible, but you got a little bit more stick than I do, so we need to get with the corporate folks and get them to donate even some more money. So that we can invest back into those community hotspot cameras, so that on the inner communities over in areas such as on Malden, I don't have a problem in calling these streets out, because I want the public and I want them to know that we know where they are, so that they can understand that we want to get into those inner communities and put their faces on the cameras, so we can make our citizens and our neighborhoods even more safer. So I'm for more cameras. Also, in the fire department, I am not in favor of a move that I've heard, and I've talked to AC and I've talked to other people as related to Fire Station 23 and others with this roving new system with the fire trucks. I'm still yet to embrace that, Mary, and to AC, I don't like it. Now, I want to be on record to say that I'm not supportive of that particular new move. And I've talked to the employees themselves and to an array of them. And they've stopped me in the grocery stores, and we've talked about it. And I listen to them first. I respect the management, but I listen to them, because they're the ones out here on the street dealing with it. And we, of course, look at stuff on paper, and we can figure how we think it may work and how we think it may work better. But from what I've heard, the new fire truck system of taking one fire truck away and doing the deal, AC, I just won't be on record. I do not like it. I do not support it. Will not be supporting it. And I wish that we would find a way to work through that process. Let's just keep looking. Is it important for us to do it right now? If it's not important for us to do it right now, then let's continue to study it for a little while longer before implementation. That would be a very good compromise, to study it for about another 3-4 more years, and then let's come up with something. Now, that's the fire. Got that. Now, Jody, where's Joey? Come on, Joey. I'm going to go down the list and get all this out of the way. As it relates to code, and I did hear, Joey, you said someone did not stop to report it. It was one of the colleagues that spoke. and there was an issue, and that I think it was Mr. McDonald and someone didn't stop to report something. Well, I think we discussed a solution for that. Another 3 years I've been hollering and screaming about these little recorders, okay, because we are complaint-driven. And at your own admission, you just spoke and said that, well, someone did not report it. Well, the people on the street, the people on the street, and Mayor, the people on the street are our code enforcement officers. I'm not going to put you on the spot too much, but I've asked for these recorders. I asked for a recorder. Here's the code officer. He's driving down the street. And here are the high weeds right here. Well, the high weeds will not get reported until someone reports it. And if a neighbor or someone that's living within those areas and does not report it, then it does not get fixed until our code officers get to a point to get around to it. And you're doing a great job. I'm with code. We have the best code department in the world. In the world. However, I want to enhance it. I think that's our job, to enhance it. $10 recorder. Code enforcement driving down the street. Highway 1640, Illinois. All right. Okay. Motor vehicle on unimproved surface on Madrid. Okay. And if they would do that, simply just that, and then come in an hour earlier at the end of the day and fill out those requests, that request is filled out. They're driving in and through the neighborhoods every day, everywhere, just a simple recorder, and come in. Now, we do have computers in the cars. We have computers in the cars where they can fill this in. But now, if a code person is en route on a mission and he's on Illinois, he never will make the mission if he's going to report all. He's going to stop and do every, cite everything on the computer. He has to pull the car over. He has to go in on the computer. He has to fill out all the information. Then he has to go next door because they got a problem. Then he has to go another block because they got a problem. Then he has to go, and each time he has to stop. All I'm suggesting is a $500 investment, no more than $1,000. Get our code enforcement officers a recorder. At the end of the day, then let them get in their little cars and sit down at their little park place in the garage and fill out all of the complaints that they saw on that day. Big 18-wheelers are parked there, but it is never serviced until someone calls. And code department is complaint-driven. And unless there's a complaint, then we don't do anything about it. In a timely fashion. And so I just want to say that. And George, thank you for that, and for adhering to it. And I'm looking for you all to push that. I think it works. And if not, let's just do a tag program and a pilot program in my district. I'm fine. I'd love to go clean up my district and just my district. I'll buy the recorders if we just let them use them and give them the authorization to use them. I think that it works, and nothing beats a failure but a try. So. That's my hot thing with code. Now, parks. Come on, Paul. Now, there's simply one thing that I will not be supporting, and Paul, I'm not going to put you too far under the gun, and I hope we remain friends after this today, but I want to hear about the pools that you're proposing to close, and I would hope that they're not in my district, and I would hope that they're not in the city of Dallas.
Well, I'm behind before I start then.
Are you behind?
If I could, I'd like to put some things together. I want to show the council.
Well, first answer my question. Answer my question.
Well, I'm going to show you.
No, just answer my question. Give me the pools that are proposed to be closed. I don't want to see that. I want to hear the name of the pools that are proposed to be closed.
We're opening this year. The ones we're closing this year will be Samuel Grand, X-Line, Glendale, H.R. Moore. And that leaves us, we have four.
Let me know, hold on. Give me the name of the pools that are proposed to be closed.
Samuel Grand.
Bonneview.
X-Line.
Okay.
Glendale, H.R. Moore.
And then two of those, Paula, in my district, and that's Glendale and Bonneview. I'll say this to the mayor first, and I'll say it to mayor. One, I will not support closing any pool one in the city of Dallas, but I certainly will not. I will be the most unhappy council member that the Dallas City Council has ever seen if we think that we're going to close Glendale Pool or Bonneville. And I only speak for those that are in my district. It is unacceptable, Mr. Dye. Whatever it is that has to be done to find the necessary dollars to maintain those pools open, then that is what I must and intend to see. It is record heat out here, and where water may be, we're talking about closing pools. Park and recreation is for the parks, and it's for folks to recreate. A part of recreation are pools. When you look at the fact that Bonneville Pool sits in the community, where do those folks go in that community, in the heart of Oak Cliff, South Oak Cliff, of Oak Cliff, where do they go to swim? Where do those little bitty feet go on this hot concrete, pitty-patting through somewhere, trying to go? And as far as somebody, you can turn the PowerPoint off, because at this point, I really don't want to see it. I don't. Because I'm talking reality. I'm talking about hot concrete. I'm talking about a park in the center of the heart of Oak Cliff, and this one is Bonneville first. And then I also want to talk about the plan. Okay, you take the park that has nothing but a pool on that park. What is our 10-year plan for that park should we close down the pool? And when we close the pool, that means the cracks come into it because we got all of this hot heat and all of that. And we, you know, what is the 20-year plan? Are we talking about closing it down for renovation? Or are we talking about closing it down? And if we're talking about closing it down, then what is the 10-year plan for recreation for those people in that immediate community? Now, same thing as relates to Glendale Park. Glendale Park, the thoroughfare is just as busy, if not as busy, as Garland Road that passes by Sheffield White Rock Lake. That is the amount of traffic that goes past to and from. That's Loop 12. That's Ledbetter. There's traffic all day. You got a park that's split like a butterfly shrimp on two sides of the highway. Now, if and when we close that pool, what is the plan for recreation at that park? If we close, because normally what happens here, and the reason may I have such a concern, because when you close a pool, the next thing happens, we got to cover it up. Now, if we're going to stay in line with the city of Dallas and the rules, you can't have a pool and it just stays uncovered and just got a pool. Am I right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, so I would like to know, are we putting up another type of field there? Are we putting a water park there? Do we have some plan down the road? Or is that community as well, one of the largest communities, where are they supposed to go? And don't just say, well, they're supposed to go to Bahama Beach. I guess where I'm going with this, Paul, have we, the park department, and I was vice president of the park board, so you know, I love it. We have several park board members here that serving at this point. Have we rolled up our sleeves and thought of every single angle before we see a beautiful PowerPoint presentation? You answer and you say, well, attendance is down. Okay, attendance should be down. Attendance should be down if we're not sending out the invitation for folks to come. Attendance should be down if we've not knocked on the doors and we've not done things to be creative, to create excitement for folks to come and utilize those facilities. So before we see the answer that you are prepared to have here, that we went by attendance, what did we do, Park and Recreation Department, what did we do to create excitement around the very neighborhood? Because the neighborhood never moved. The neighborhood is still there. So if the neighborhood is there,
Have we knocked on the doors? Have we dealt with the churches? Have we did some creative? Did we think about doing to bring revenue? Did we think out of the box, Mary, and say, well, let's do a midnight swim party at Glendale and let's bring up some revenue and let's get the adults back involved? Have we thought about any of those types of things before we just say, well, look, the tennis is down, so we, you know, and over here, so the best way for us to do this is just cut it. I'm not for cutting it. I'm for thinking. I'm for trying to figure out a way. I'm for trying to create some excitement, trying to figure out what do we do? What is it that we can do before we say? Because every time we close something, DeSoto, Duncanville, Cedar Hill, everybody, they open up something. And then our folks go, and then once they go, we can't get them back. I think our challenge and charge is to keep them from leaving, to create excitement within our own. Because once they go somewhere else and get comfortable, it's going to be heck trying to get back. Well, Paul, you know, I need to be fair to let you go through that, but I will stop now before you go through that, because when you go through that, I got to get started again. So if you want to go through it, that's your choice. Price is right now.
Council's choice.
It was
a very difficult decision, and this was, again, this was a
very difficult suggestion.
I'm talking about the park board. Park board weighed this, and what we tried to do was open up the pools that were closed 2 years ago when we had the severe budget cut. And we had pools at Ferguson, Everglade, Tommy Allen, Grawweiler, Kid Springs, Hattie Rankin Moore were all closed 2 years ago because we didn't have the funding. So those were open this year, and the ones that were open the time before, we tried to find ways to keep a balance here. And I don't disagree with you. I don't like to close any of these pools. They do serve the community. What we tried to do was put the same amount of pools in each quadrant of the city to give a fair distribution of pools throughout the city. If the council wants to change their mind about funding, we can certainly put those back in. We'd be happy to do that. It's not an easy decision when there are tough budget reductions. If you look at the chart, go back to the diagram, please. What we tried to do is try to find the resources that were in the northwest, southeast, etc. And basically what we came up with was in the northeast we have four pools open this year. Next year there will be three, and there are three spray grounds. In the southeast there are six pools, the largest number of pools in our system in a quadrant. We opened up three of those pools with three spray grounds. So in the southeast quadrant there are six aquatic facilities. In the southwest we have four pools. We opened up three of those with one spray ground and Bahama Beach. In the northwest there are two pools. We kept those both open because those are the only two pools in that area, and we have one in the far north, one spray ground. So it's not an easy choice looking at the geographical distribution of our system, trying to come up with a number of pools. But again, the fact of the matter is we were short on funding this year, and we tried to come up with the best solution based on the history of opening of pools. I don't disagree. We have gone door-to-door in Glendale. We did that 2 years ago, and last year we tried to increase the pool participation. But the fact of the matter is these pools don't serve the public like they used to.
Okay.
But we have a plan. You asked about a plan. We have a plan that we produced that the board spent hours on driving around looking at different pools and aquatic systems in the Metroplex, a committee of the park board. They have a full briefing and recommendation to bring to you when you're ready to look at it. That will talk about replacing our aquatic system with small family aquatic centers, which will add a lot more import to our system and make people happy about the product. We're seeing in the suburbs, you mentioned the suburbs are seeing pools that are being taken out and these family aquatic systems are put in. The attendance goes from 2 or 3,000 to 15 to 18,000. So it's what families want. It's the right choice to make, and I'm just saying that's the plan. The plan, I think, in the future will bring this city an aquatic system that people and families will enjoy and really want to be in.
Okay. Thank you, Paul, for that. But now let me tell you, I'm not going to sit here and allow. If I have to go over there with a water hose and put water in there, there's got to be some water in Glendale and some water at Bonneville. However it is, what we need to do, as relates to park and recreation, there are other areas that we could cut, and I could just go all day and begin to spam. I'd rather do that in a closed meeting.
But I could just suggest a whole bunch of places we could go. How much does it cost to operate Glendale Pool for just one summer?
$60,000.
$60,000.
Right.
All right. Now, I charge the park department there. Go find $50,000, $60,000. I've seen us come up with money before. Very creatively. Now, go find a way to keep the pools open. That is the only solution to it. There are other things that I think that we could do, and I think we just need to be creative. Now, you made mention that you talked to the people in Glendale. I'd like to see a manifest of what doors were knocked on.
Okay.
And how deep we went. Did we talk to the churches? Did we talk? Do you think that we've done every single thing that we can do to create the excitement as related to these pools that are closing or proposed to be closed? Sir, do you think we've done everything that we can do?
I think we've made a good attempt. And again, I don't think it's about the people that are coming or aren't coming. It's about trying to balance the resources in a particular geographic area so that everyone won't have an access to a pool.
I guess I'm going back to ask again. Do you think that we've done every single thing that we can do to go out and find the necessary dollars beyond what's being budgeted? Have we rolled up our creative sleeves, is where I'm going, to go out and figure out a way or to attempt a fair? Do we think about privatizing the pools? I'm just asking. Did we think about asking the church or somebody or organization or the Urban League or go out to suggest to them? Because thirdly, we got administrative. We're really top heavy here, administrative, and maybe we can find $50,000-$60,000 there to keep a pool open for many folks. And administrative, yeah. I'm just putting it out the way that it is. If they're there to take a look and see and figure it out, I like for us to figure it out. Because the community is first with me. And I'm hot about this now. Because, you know, I'm there to make sure. I didn't want to go here. But there are more swimming pools north and, you know, in backyards and everywhere else. People have, you just have just a few public swimming holes for folks to go over here. And just as our mission with public safety is to keep our citizens safe, I think the mission of the park department should be recreation and making sure that at least the recreation center. I'll further go and ask, and Mayor, I'm going to be sure here. I'm trying to get out of this one. But I think that, one, I would like to say on this day of August 8th that we don't build another park in the city of Dallas. Not one. Those that we already have on the drawing board, let's keep them there. Let's not open up another park, another nothing. I mean, with the Overdeck Park, we're supporting it. It's already there. We found money to help and get into doing that. Okay, the Overdeck Park is downtown. And the park is downtown. I'm with that. I'm not advocating let's go in and stopping that. But what I'm saying is take care of what we already have. Because that's exactly one of the things that happened with DISD. They overbuilt all these schools and let the other schools get raggedy. And kept putting into something new and didn't take care of what we already have. And I'm for taking care of what we already have and figuring out a way before increasing and adding anywhere else, figure out a way to take care of what we already have. Now, with some of these other things, how about that contingency money that we have in building these parks? Could we not have looked at some of the contingency funds and the art money that goes along with the construction costs and say, well, we could take some of that money and maybe put it over here to save the pool? Have we talked about that? We hadn't thought about that. See, I want us to do some more thinking because there are some dollars that we must find. And I'm not going to sit here and take this light. Period. Bonneville, at a budget hall meeting, town hall meeting, don't y'all come there talking about we closing Bonneville. Just at least say we're going to revisit, or you're going to have to do something. Because I will not let it get out into the community that we're going to shut those people's pools down. It's unacceptable. All right, I'm going to let you go with that one now. One last thing, and so I can move on. Community prosecutors, where's Mr. Perkins?
He's not here today. Where's Gary Wayne?
Yeah, the family emergency.
I don't know what schedule was. He's not here.
He's on vacation? Is he on vacation? Vacation. He's on vacation at the time we're discussing the budget. I'm not going to make friends. I'm going to speak on it. The folks have the right to do what they have to do. But I'm talking about these community prosecutors, and I'm talking about the fact that we're going through the budget, and I think that the head people that's making these decisions ought to be here. Let me be on record with that, too. They ought to be here. I'm here. Now, the community prosecutors, it is just unacceptable to me to know that we on the Dallas City Council, and the reason I've had a lot of success to the council members in my district as it relates to code and crime and mayor, is because I had a hands-on person in community prosecution that was accessible to us, that worked along with code, and code did a tremendous job in working in conjunction with our community prosecution. And it is important, if you drive through District 4 now, you will see that there are folks in our district that know the rules, that know that a community prosecutor has the ability to come, knock on your door, deal with you, and get you in court within a week's time. And that is one essential thing, an important point, that the community expects of us. They are the most important thing. Now, Stephanie is my administrative assistant. But I got to have Stephanie, Mary Soon, and my community prosecutor. That's what I have to have. That's what makes me work. And that's what gets the job done. I'm only stressing to you that and I think you're going to hear more of this, that community prosecutors, you all got to figure out how we can have our community prosecutors. Each one of us need a community prosecutor. You would be surprised in utilizing the community prosecutor. I managed to get a whole bunch of things done through the community prosecutor. We went over to Cadillac Heights. We tore down 50 structures at Cadillac Heights. And the community prosecutor is the one that dug up the way and stayed on top of it to figure out how those things can be done. The reason that the sign ordinance is working so well in District 4 is because through the community prosecutors, they go over there and they make those people stay regulated. The code folks have so much to do, but the community prosecutor is a leg arm that helps that. So I just want to say that. I'm not going to take you any further. Ms. Chipperfield, you are the last one. Thank you, and Mayor, thank you for and Council for enduring this tirade that I'm on. And before I get to this, let me just make one other thing. As it relates to the water bill, Jody and Mary, I'm not in favor of us raising the water bill on to the seniors. It seems like every year we come back and we add another fee and another fee and another fee. And this is one for you, Mary. Tell me about the rental registration program. What is that? It had nothing to do with the water.
No, that's the one we did last year, that everybody that has rental property has to register that property.
Everyone with rental property has to register that property. And how much is that? How much does that fee?
$25.
$25. What would happen if we raise it $5 more or $10?
We'll bring you some options.
All right. Now, if we were to raise the registration fee $10, what type of impact would that have?
We'll bring that for you.
All right. Well, I want to say that. And then I want to say this, that some of the very needs that we have, and I don't have a problem with the registration rental fee going up. I want the real estate folks to understand that. And I'm talking residential. And the reason is because, one, it's a profit business for them. And by being a profit business, if they have to pay $35-$40 a year for a house, Mayor, if they have to pay $40 for a house that they own and are renting at $500 for easy figures a month, they're making a profit after they pay their taxes. We're not doing anything but attaching a fee onto a for-profit business. And that little increase, one, they're going to be mad about it, but they're in business. And it is a fee to do business. they are charging rent, and it is for profit for them. So now, if they are charging rent, and if they make $15,000 a year off a $500 of rental space, and then they have to pay $1,200 in taxes, for example, and then they may have $3,000 in repair, and they got a net profit on that one house at $10,000, why should they not pay $40 or $50 fee to make money? It is something that I'm simply asking Mary that I want to, and don't have a problem in leading the charge, to try to figure out where the additional money. Because as we talk about these streets, we've got to figure out where we can get money to fix the streets. We talk about letting people go, but while we're talking about letting people go, and we are adding on to the national unemployment rate, then we still have people that's making money and are for profit making money, and they fussing because they don't want to pay $50. What is $50 if I'm going to make $10,000? It's $50 off the taxpayer's dollars. Those dollars could go to keep the pools open. Those dollars could go and keep the folks' jobs. Those dollars could go and help us with the libraries. Those jobs, that money can go and do something. $50. And I want them to know that I'm serious about looking into it. Anybody that's for profit, that's making a profit, ought to step up to the plate and pay their fair share. We don't owe them anything because we're the ones that have to go by their properties and put our packets on their doors and send our code people on our dime up to them to keep some of them, not all of them, attuned with what the code and the law is. Last, I'm going to ask this, I'm going to go. Tell me about, now we had a $33 million increase. I would like to make sure that Mr. Perryman, maybe old news for y'all, but this is what he said. He said, on the beer and wine, that we were going to have a $33 million increase to our general fund. Now, you don't have to identify, we can't keep up with where it is and where it came from. But Ms. Chipperfield, I'd like to see at least a $15 to $20 million increase that was promised to the taxpayers and the citizens of this city. That should we pass beer and wine, it was going to take place. Now, why I have to say it? Well, my pools are closing. I have to say it. I don't have any choice. Why do I have to say it? Because I mean, if we're going to have this $33 million, I shouldn't have this problem. I would like to make sure that what we say and what is presented to us and through us to the citizens of this city, that there's some substantial accountability to monitor and to keep up with where that is. Mr. Perryman said it was $33 million that was going to come into our city general fund, but yet we're letting go 100 people.
Well, what do you say? Mr. Perryman is wrong, and I've had this
discussion. Well, but he's wrong. But we allowed him to be wrong.
Well, but he can say what he wants. Okay. You know he wasn't that true.
Well, the people involved with it, and not just Mr. Perryman, owe the community something to tell us what they see. I mean, however it is. So my community, the only reason that we went completely wet is because we were told that it was going to be $33 million into our general fund. They came to our churches. They came into the pulpits of the churches. Now, you can't come to my church and tell no story.
It is.
No, I'm saying what we say now. But I'm still saying what the citizens bought. And the citizens bought it, and we're suffering with it, and we didn't get a grocery store from it, as promised, and we didn't get the $33 million, and my pools are closing, and my employees are getting laid off, and folks are coming up without jobs, and we're still cutting. I just want to say that. I know we're not getting nowhere, but at least I'm on the record, because I'm not one that's going to hide. I want them to make sure they understand that the next time somebody comes, the next time that they come, then the figures ought to be correct. Don't tell a story to most people. Mayor, thank you so much. This is the only time. I promise, as long as you be mayor, I'm not going to have another tirade. But I had to have this one today.
Thank you for being on the record. Mary, you and staff came a long way. Just 4 months ago, you'd reported a $59 million differential. 3 months ago, it was $32 million differential. That was a lot of money to make up. Hats off to you for making that money up. That was a long way to come in a very short period of time. Make a few comments and just ask a couple of questions. One of the comments, in 07, the council voted to raise taxes by 1.87 cents to add extra policemen, bring it to the one per, three policemen per 1,000. If I remember correctly, that was about 200 policemen a year is what we were going to add. Was that about right?
Yes.
And then the 1.87 cents equated about $14 million, somewhere in that range, close to that range. And we had a lot of discussion over that, about adding and bringing up the three per 1,000 citizens, also about the 1.87 tax increase. In your budget now, you're proposing adding 200 firefighters. A portion of that is to reduce the amount of overtime being paid to our firefighters. So that's a question. My question would be, that's a large ticket item. Why weren't we briefed in public safety and or in budget and finance?
Because we were able to add those at the end of this process when we begin to see that property tax is not going to go down as low as we projected, and when we saw that the state was not going to take as much money as we thought they might.
What is the projected expense of the 200 additional firefighters?
$1.6 million with the savings in the out year.
What's the projected expense of the 200? It's not $1.6 million. No. 200 additional firefighters.
You don't hire them all at once. We had the additions, the ones that we added are additional $1.6 million. $2.6 for replacement and additional ones. It's $2.6 million next year. You don't have them all year. You don't hire them all at once. The following year, you have more of them, and it costs you more, but you also save in overtime. And in 12-13, you'll save about $6.8 million that we would have paid in overtime.
The amount of overtime right now is $7 million that we're paying the firefighters?
I don't have that in front of me. I can get all those numbers for you.
You know what the breakdown is of the overtime?
Yes, sir, we can get that for you. I don't have it in front of me today.
Okay, I want the breakdown of the overtime, how it is, whether it's sick leave or any of the, just what that actual breakdown had in the categories that would cause that overtime. Because
okay.
This is, to me, is not a public safety issue at all. It has nothing to do with public safety. This is an administrative issue when it comes to overtime. That's an administrative issue. And so to hire additional staff to cover overtime becomes an administrative issue.
No, sir. If a firefighter's absent because he's sick or he has vacation or whatever reason he's gone, he has to be replaced. In other departments, because there's a required number of folks on the apparatus, in other departments, somebody's absent, I don't have to fill it. I don't have to backfill. I'll be glad to give you all the details.
I want a detailed breakdown on what causes the overtime, whether it is the sickness and just or the other paid time off, those scenarios. I don't know, because I have not been briefed on this. This is a pretty large ticket item. So, again, I still view it as administrative type. The handling of the staff, in a sense, is much. Along that same lines, with the Berkshire report, they made several recommendations for efficiencies. Have they been implemented?
Not all of them, no.
And the ones that haven't, if I could just get an update on that, because, again, that goes back to maybe the administrative side and why we're having to add, what is it, truly maybe an extra 100? You got 200 you're adding, maybe 85 or 90.
Extra 100, yes.
Yeah.
We can show you that analysis, and I can assure you that we benefit by reducing overtime. And overtime, I can't tell people they can't be sick, and they earn vacation, and they have to they're able to take some of it. So,
what other categories would they be able to taking off? Is there? Well, anyway, you will give me that breakdown.
We'll go through all
that. Give me that breakdown.
Yeah.
That same scenario, as you add 200 extra people, they will fall in that same scenario about overtime, vacation, about being sick. So then, is this something?
No, see, we've done it.
As
no.
they age, it just per, you
no,
know,
we've
you
done
continue to have to add
We've
staff.
Done the analysis, and at this, you can overtime is something that's sometimes cheaper than hiring people. But when you get too much of it, you need to hire people that you pay at regular time.
Yeah, this really should have been, in my opinion, it's a big item. When you add 200 extra people to staff, that's a big undertaking. That doesn't go away. It's very hard once we add to take away.
It's 100 extra. The other is
that's
for
what
replacement.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah,
about 85, 90. Right. That's nutrition, right. And 100 to go with it. But once you add, very difficult to ever take
I
wouldn't away.
I understand that, and
difficult.
I wouldn't do it if I didn't think it was to your benefit.
I'm glad to see that you've allocated the 14 community prosecutors. I agree with Councilman Carraway, and I can't speak for the other council members, but in my district, that is the most effective staff person, period.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most effective staff person, period. And they have been the most effective one. And I use the word have been, because most of these prosecutors now, we've seen them jumping ship. And I don't know if the reasons for the jumping of the ship or if they see a reef that's been coming. I've lost mine, and it's going to take a year to get back to where we were on this. Most staff positions, based on my experience, are reactive in nature. They react to a situation. They react. You got a crime spot, react to it. You got this, react to it. And then you put that out. But you don't solve the reaction. You don't solve the problem. The community prosecutors are proactive. They're proactive. Citizens action team, government action teams, they are without question, in my opinion, the most important staff person that we have. They have worked tremendously in my district. They have worked tremendously. My question to you is, since you've designated 14 community prosecutors, why not allow one per district, as Councilman Carraway has noted? Why not let us have one per district so that we can concentrate with that community prosecutor?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, this is Mr. Perkins' recommendation, but I agree with him. Our workload is not...
Whose recommendation?
Mr. Perkins recommended this is how they'd be allotted, but our work areas and the way we measure work is not done by council districts. It's done by the districts that basically coincides with the police districts and streets and all those districts' workload set up that way.
Well, I'm gonna be like Mr. Councilman Carraway on this. That's unacceptable to me. You go that direction on that, and you do that direction, I'm gonna be a ball hog. I'm gonna hog that community prosecutor. That's how important that is. And you go that direction, and you do the two per district and all that, that won't work. That won't work. You're going to gear this off. You're going to head it towards, I use the word, towards the reef. And I'm just that firm. I'm that solid on it. I believe 100% it was working without question. I've got so many multifamilies out there, cleaner than they've ever been before, because they had the attention put on them. They had the attention. That attention will not be there when you try to split them out two per district and do all that. Citizen Action Committee, Government Action Committee, no, it's not going to happen. If you go that direction, I'm just going to tell you, I will be a hog. I will be, because I know maybe I've heard that we don't want the councilmen to be too close. Well, I'm going to be a hog. I'm going to be on that council, on that community prosecutor, because it's that important to my district. We have come too far. We've come too far in my district to go back. and we will. I sense it. I believe it in my heart. The direction we're going is the wrong direction. We will go back, and I'm not going to tolerate it for my district. So I'm going to be staunch on where we have one per council district. Mr. Mayor, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Ms. Margolin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Gene, for all the work that you and your staff have done on this. I know it's been a lot. My first question is, normally between briefings we see kind of a sheet that shows what the changes were, and I didn't see that this time. So can you tell me how much revenue have we gained since the last briefing?
About 24, 26, and you reduced expenses by about 6. There's a lot of in and outs there, so we need to bring that to you. We took some revenues that we had in before 32 out because we lost it, so I need to bring you a detail sheet because that level won't get it for you.
Okay. So was most of it the change in assumption on the property tax?
No. Yeah, at that point it was. Yes. Yes, that was the big one at that point.
Okay. And so how much of that increase went to public safety? Do you know?
On police, it was a 1.5 increase, and on fire, it was a 1.6 increase, so 3.1 or 2 for next year.
Okay. On the police crisis team, Mary, you said that has that been fully funded back
yes.
to where it was? Okay.
Yes.
Because when I looked at the notebook, it only went in public safety to item 30, and I thought that was item 50. So I was under the impression that it wasn't.
We'll find it.
Okay. I think that's very important, and I'm thrilled that that's been put back into the budget. Gene, can you tell me since 2009-10 to now, what's the difference in the size of the city's workforce? What was it before the hard times came, and what is it now?
Gosh, I don't have that off the top of my head.
Okay.
Could I look it up and
sure. I would like to know the number of actual employees and the number of positions and what the change has been in that period of time. Okay.
You will. Because you've added so many police officers, you will not see a huge difference. We'll
okay.
give it to you in uniform and civilian.
That separately. Would be really helpful.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Dyer, is he still here? Yeah. Okay, this is questions regarding the closing of the Marcus Annex. It's my understanding that Marcus Annex is a senior center, and that the closing of the center will not close or reduce the programming that the seniors have had. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's the only standalone senior center that we have in our system, so we're consolidating that under the Marcus Recreation Center. They still use the building since it's on the same campus, but we'll just not have a separate management that will be managing that.
Okay, so as far as the senior citizens who use that center, they should not notice an appreciable difference at all.
I should not. No.
Okay, I want to make that clear. Okay, thank you. All right, back to Gene. The 10% cut in the arts programming budget, how much is that in dollars?
$300,000.
I'm just going to tell you, I think that's very important dollars, and we have been cutting and cutting and cutting these the arts institutions for years, and I'm going to try to find a way to do an amendment to put some or all of that back, because I just don't think we should continue to cut them the way we have. On libraries, I'm thrilled that we were able to increase the materials budget, but I'm still concerned about how low it is relative to what it has been historically. That's something that I would like to see the libraries move in the direction of, you know, what we think about sometimes for the parks, which is perhaps private donations. I would think that there are foundations, corporations out there that might be willing to help with the materials budget, and I certainly would be willing to help pursue that, finding some of that money. But I think it's really important that we get back to funding our materials more substantially. Okay, building inspection. I see that $200,000 has been included in this budget as kind of a down payment, if you will, on the discussions that we've been having with the real estate community. I also saw, in response to a question from the last budget workshop, that we're putting $500,000 into technology for building inspection. My question is that $500,000 coming out of the enterprise fund, or is it coming out of the general fund?
Enterprise fund.
Okay. I mean,
now, the historic preservation is a be over a three or four-year time frame. We'll move it into the general fund.
Right. You know, from conversations that we've had at council briefings on this topic, my sense is that there is the desire to move in the direction also of taking the council and CPC authorized hearings and ultimately putting that in the general fund. And that's something that I'm going to be keeping an eye on, because I really do want, I think we need to be moving toward that so that we can really fund building inspection with more employees. I mean, we need to do more for our developers to encourage development, and I'm very committed to that. Do we have any plan, and I don't know if this is a park question or not, to pursue once again the sale of Elgin B. Robertson Park, only this time to inform the community about why we're trying to do it, as opposed to just putting it on a ballot so nobody understood? Because this could be a great source of future funds for capital improvements in the park department, for our park system, and I really would like to see us not just let that drop because it failed once, but go back and put it on the ballot the next time we possibly can, only this time really consciously develop or ask a communications consultant perhaps to work pro bono to do a communications plan so that people will vote for it and understand why they're voting for it. Okay, I guess this is a question for Ryan. I know you're probably not over this anymore, but you were when all this was going on. How much more revenue is being projected for the coming year on court fines?
I don't have the exact number, but it's several hundred thousand dollars.
Okay, so we're not in the millions. We're in the 100,000.
Yeah, in additional revenue, yeah.
And this is just over last year?
Yes.
Okay, what about since your whole program started?
It's in the millions.
It is in the millions.
Yeah.
Good, okay, wonderful. I was hoping to hear a number like that. Thank you. Okay, I noticed let me get my notebook. On page 290 of this notebook, I'm so sorry. Can someone bring some paper towels over here? My bad. Uh-oh. Thank you. Sorry about that. Okay. On page 290, toward the bottom, there's a line that says reserves and transfers. Mm-hmm. Do you see that, Jean? Mm-hmm. Okay. So in 2008-09, it was $4.5 million. In 2009-10, $7 million. 2010-11, $12 million. Tell me what that is and why it's changed so dramatically. And then it's proposed for $10.5 million for the coming year.
Right. So that includes our funding that we provide to our mainly to our liability claims fund to pay lawsuit settlement costs during the year. And so it just varies from year to year. Also, our contingency reserve funding level is included in that. And so it varies from year to year depending on what the need is for those two funds. So if you want, I can go back and split it out between the various reserves and transfers that need to be
right
in there. But it just depends on what the need is, particularly that claims fund can go up and down from year to year, just depending on what we paid out during the year and if things get
pushed. Yeah, no, I don't need to see it. I just wanted to know what it was.
Yeah, so it does vary a lot.
So if we had a good year on claims and we didn't have a lot of claims,
right,
we don't add to that.
Right.
Categories.
I understand. Okay, that's all, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McGraw. And Ms. Hassel?
Thank you, Mayor. I think a lot of my questions are the same, but I do want to reiterate a couple of things. Mainly, Mary, your staff, thank you. Congratulations on getting the award. I think for someone who was rather new 2 years ago, it really does help when you can understand what you're reading. So I appreciate the work of you and your staff on putting together the budget. On page 12, I guess, who is this? This would be Mary. I have the same concerns on the what we're doing with the fire trucks and redoing those runs. I would like to know what costs we're going to be adding if we're putting fire trucks in buildings that weren't built for two trucks.
Well, I suggest that since everybody's concerned about that, we might want to brief it. I will tell you that we looked at places we were going to change, and they are equipped to handle it. I think if we give you the whole picture, it'll help.
All right. Yeah, and then I would also like to add to that to let us know where is the highest call volume.
Okay.
Per fire station. The cameras, I think, is great. I think we've got 24, is that correct?
25 more.
25 more. And I also would like to get a list of where the hot spots that you're planning to put those in and understand that they are monitoring those in our basement.
Right. Some of them will move.
Okay. But, yeah, if I could get that list that you're going to give out. On community court, I'm very concerned that we're closing the West Dallas Community Court. What this does with your consolidation and with the Monroe shop getting a new one, that kind of leaves North Oak Cliff and East West Oak Cliff and West Dallas without a community court. And, you know, I keep reiterating this as we're 1.2 million people, and we only have 3 community courts. We really should be expanding, not closing.
Community courts were funded by federal funds that have been reduced, so we couldn't replace everything when they cut the federal funds.
Well, I would definitely like to see how we can pursue this, either through federal or state funding. We shouldn't leave an entire area of the city without a community court. That includes West Dallas, North Oak Cliff, and West Oak Cliff. Page number 16 on the streets. Again, we've got to be sure that we're doing, that we put as much money as we can into the slurry seal. You know, as someone was saying earlier, the first ice or the first bad rain, you know, we go back to the same conditions that we were in before. We listed Belo Garden as a positive enhancement on one of these pages in the presentation. My question is, what is the cost of maintaining Belo Garden? That's a new park in the system. And so on page 19, thank you. If we're listing it as an enhancement, what are we projecting for maintenance?
$138,000
per year.
Yeah, sometimes the first year has some one-time costs, so let me make sure that I have the annual cost separated out.
Okay. And while you're doing that, Paul, if you'll come on up. Page 20. I'm concerned about lighting at the parks. If we're reducing lighting, that becomes a public safety issue, and I would not be supportive of reducing lighting at parks, especially the hot spots, where we know that there's drug and prostitution going on in some of the parking lots. That's something we need to take care of with any lighting reduction that we're looking at. We need to talk to the police department. You know, one hand needs to talk to the other to make sure we're not adding to our public safety issues by reducing lighting in some of our in some of those reductions you've got on page 21. Let's see. Library materials. Thank you, Paul. Library materials. I'm understanding that we've got a huge DVD. People wanting to rent DVDs at our libraries now. People using computers for job searches. Are either of those in our library materials?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We're adding computers.
No, we're not adding computers.
Okay. Well, I would certainly like to see a few of those, in especially areas where people use them for job search. I do think it's a good idea for, where's Jody? Jody, to give us a slide presentation or a couple of slides in our town hall meetings to explain to people what is happening with the water bill. You know, we need to start educating people now that water is going to be a huge commodity as we continue down this path, and so we need to start educating them now. So I'd like to show them, like we were saying earlier, what the reasons are that these numbers are going way up. And sanitation, Mary, do we have any sort of numbers on what our cost savings was when we went to One Day Dallas?
This cost savings kept us from having to increase, and so we can show you those balances, but there's no increase in sanitation.
Right, but I would like to see how we...
Okay, we'll show you that.
Yeah, how we did
really
with One Day Dallas, because we touted it very much.
Yeah, but we eliminated that kept it from going up. I mean,
and
the fuel goes up and all that.
Yeah. We need to definitely educate the community on how they helped us by going to one-day service on both trash and recycling. That is it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hossel. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Gene, what is the balance of our reserve funds now?
So we project at the end of next year, we would end the year with $62.7 million in reserves. That's about 6% of our expenses for the year.
6%, we're going to try to be at, what, 5%?
5 is the minimum. We've been around 6% for the last couple of years. It was a little bit, it was almost 7% back in 07 and 08, so we're a little bit lower than where we were 2 years ago, but still above our minimum.
Do you expect that we can use in a major portion of the reserve this coming budget?
No.
The rating agencies have long been concerned that we're around 5 or 6. They would wish we would be higher, so we wouldn't advise using that.
Okay. Last year, you know, we did have a property tax increase, and and we did have meet and confer, and that was X amount of dollars revenue to the city. And Merritt and I knew that at the end of the day, we were talking about furlough days, and we said, hey, if we do raise the property tax and we do meet and confer, that we might be able to restore some of the city employees' furlough days. And we did not do that. So therefore, you're saying that you give back 3, and I hear from some of the colleagues, we look like we're trying to find an extra, which probably be another $800,000.
$800,000, yes, sir.
Right. So when you say you look at probably sometime in December before you make the decision.
Oh, no. If y'all found the money to do that before then, we do it in the first of the year.
Well, and the reason why I say that, you know, we crossed that bridge last year, and it did not come back to us. you know, we did when we raised the property tax, just say, hey, we're going to look at it. I don't recall.
There was no money.
But I still don't recall you coming back to the full council and say, hey, we don't have any money to give the furlough days back.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, but we didn't have any, so.
Okay. The main thing, we're talking about a water bill. Jody? And we know that most of our old infrastructure, if you look at the center downtown, it's more older. Then you, as you go out to the suburb, it's not that, have not aged that much. We do have customers that we sell water to. Is that a fair statement?
Suburban customers?
Right.
Yes, sir.
When we sell that water to them, do we calculate the expense? Infrastructure, not only to the resident, what about to the retail?
The infrastructure cost associated with serving our wholesale customers is included in their cost of service. And each year we perform an annual cost of service for those suburban customers and charge them accordingly.
But what about the calculation? So therefore, if you a resident, you buying it, but how do you figure the infrastructure cost to the city that you sell to the customer? I mean, what is the rate? What is the formula and how you do that?
The basic formula is the demand they put on us. In other words, if I have to treat a certain amount of water for them, then that portion of the infrastructure costs are allocated to those wholesale customers, and the rest of it's allocated to the retail customers. So I don't make money.
I know, but what I'm trying to find out, is that a different price to a resident versus retail?
The residential customers in the suburban cities will pay a different rate than our customers. The suburban customers that are our direct customers pay a wholesale rate for water delivered to their city limits. And then they add on it the cost of delivery within, metering, and their infrastructure costs internally.
So the wholesale customer, there is one rate regardless of what the volume of water it is. Just one rate.
They pay a unit rate for volume and demand.
And demand, okay.
But they agree to use a certain volume, and if they go over, their rate may bump up.
That's right. You might have heard this. I used an example in the news. City of Grand Prairie came out, and they were really focused on their water restrictions because it would cost them $200,000 more.
This one's getting that.
They'd be paying us $200,000 more because they would have increased their demand.
Right. Okay. The communal prosecutor, you know, I know when I first came to City Hall, we did not have a communal prosecutor, and now we don't have one now. For some reason, Mary, in the last 90 days, I only had three different communal prosecutors, and they all left for some odd reason. They left, and I kind of overheard that you are trying to restructure how each council member have a communal prosecutor. In my district, it's kind of different from other council member districts, that if you match my communal prosecutor up with the police station, I got Southeast, I got Southwest, I got South Central. So I got three different ones, and to me, to have three different prosecutors be on the same page, it'd be very, very difficult for me to sit down with three different prosecutors and say, what is the problem in my district? So I wish you look at that and see that in District 8, it'd be very, very difficult with my workload to try to deal with three different people in one district. I know that we lost X amount of communal prosecutors. How many do we have on board today?
Good morning.
Yes.
We have 9 currently.
We have 9 current. How many we plan to have at the end of the day? And in this budget cycle, Mary?
Well, this budget funds 14.
14. So we will have 14.
Yes. Yes.
And how many we had before?
16.
16. So we lose 2.
Yeah.
And each council member had a community prosecutor, is that?
No, they were designed by target areas, which covered
portions of the city. I believe your community prosecutor was the only one that was your district.
Okay. Now, the community prosecutor that, how many of the community prosecutors are going to be new hiring?
Six.
So we'll hire six, right?
That is correct.
And those six, Mary, when you forecast that those will be?
October 1.
So you have six new hires, and how long is it going to take to train them and to get them prepared to up the knowledge perform of the district?
Approximately 6 months.
So it's going to take 6 months. So in the meantime, what are we doing now to make sure that we can cut the timeline?
I'm not exactly sure how to answer that question. Currently, we have training in process, but we're working with community prosecutors who've been here for over 3 years. Everyone still on staff has been here and continues to work their target areas, not only their target areas, but most of us are covering several areas to take care of the workload as best we can.
Right.
Mr. Atkins, if I may add to that, we are currently advertising for the positions, and when they are brought on board, it's not that they're going to be stuck at a remote office and training for 6 months. They will be in your all over the city, but they will be getting enhanced training during the first 6 months that they are here.
Well, you know, my concern is that we wait until the last minute to train the communal prosecutor, and we lost so many so rapidly, you know. That's a concern. And I know, Roslyn, you are, when's your last day?
August 23rd.
August 23rd. Okay. Thank you. Mary, on our streets, and I know we had capital budget and we had operation budget on the street, and we did increase the property tax last year to maintain some of the operation. I know we got some of the capital going forward, and we look at so many miles that we're doing it. On the going into this budget, are we cutting back on the lane mile that
no,
we are going to repair?
No, sir. We've got the same mileage and the same money we had last year for street repair and street maintenance. All I'm saying is that it's really, really important. We've got to have lots of money in the bond program for that, because those repairs are now the kind that need, you know, complete reconstruction type of stuff.
Okay. The furlough days, back to the furlough days again, that, you know, to me, last year that we raised the property tax and we didn't even confer, but my main concern is, number one, that the morale of the city, of the citizens and plus the employees of the city of Dallas. And I think that, you know, when you do reduce some of the furlough days and you give back, you got increase of the insurance there, and you, the city manager, it's your job to try to bring us a good budget. But then, too, I look at some of the people, employees who leave in the city that also double jobs, that the morale here, is, to me, last year, it was a little bit bad, but I think going forward, you know, I look at the citizen and the employers here and say, hey, you know what? What can we do better? By me saying this right here is, number one, we should do whatever possible to make sure the employees who work here, who do the day-to-day work, to make sure they are more happy and more proud of work for the city of Dallas. Going back to the communal prosecutor, that we lost some of the communal prosecutors, but I hear, as it might be true, might not be true, that, hey, we thought we're not going to have a job. And so now we are hiring communal prosecutors, and now if they knew they had a job, they probably would have stayed. So I don't know if that's true or not true, but we...
Well, I can't... I want to say this. When federal money goes away, I have to find general fund money.
Right.
As soon as I knew I had general fund money, we talked to the community prosecutors. But I also tell you, these are young, new lawyers, and they're not going to stay there forever. And so there's going to be some turnover in community prosecutors, and we're going to do everything we can, and I'll look to see if we can, there's some way to fund a little bit of early hiring before we go into the new fiscal year. But nobody's going to stay in that job forever, because it's a starting place.
I mean, I understand that. No one will stay in the job forever, but then, too, it's still our duty that when someone leaves, we will prepare and ready to move in.
Well, with federal grants, that makes it difficult because the federal grants get cut. We didn't budget for in the general fund. That makes it difficult.
311, I've been hearing about the high weeds. Is yours? Joel, what is the process when someone calls 311 and says, if I have high weeds, give me the timeline when that job is closed?
Well, to begin, within a couple of days, an inspector goes up and inspects and will issue a notice if one hasn't already been issued. Once we give somebody a notice, property owner, a notice on weeds or litter, it's good for a whole year. So if they already had a notice, it's just a matter of turning it over to a mow clean crew and saying, go knock it down.
No.
And then,
okay, my question is, number one, what is the timeline? If I have high weed and I call 311 and said this is high weed at this location, what's the timeline before we act to cut the grass down or whatever?
Assuming it's a fresh case, one that we haven't visited before, I'd say within 2 to 3 weeks, depending on the time of year. During the growing season, it's going to extend a little longer.
So therefore, it's fair that if someone called 311, if it got high weed, maybe 30 days before we actually give permission to mow it.
I won't say that won't happen from time to time, but again, it depends on the time of the year and whether it's the first time that we've seen the case.
We have to give everybody notice to give them a chance to do it.
I know problem knows, right.
So that's 10 days. And then if it took us another 6 or 7 to get out there. But once we give you notice, if you come up in the system again, then we can go mow you right away. So that'll be less than 10 days.
Well, the reason why I said, that I have looked at some of my open requests. They haven't had notice. And still, 3 weeks, it still haven't been cut. So I was curious.
Well, and part of the solution that we've done in the past couple of years is to increase the use of a mowing contract that we've had in place. So that once we know a property is going to be a problem for us, that we're going to have to be there repeatedly, we put it on a regular cycle to try and keep it down that way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the challenge is just determining which ones are those properties where the owner's not going to step up. And we've got to put it on that schedule.
Okay. Gene, please. Gene, on our meeting confer, are we going to our second year?
Right, this
case. What is the cost of revenue, cost of expense they're going to cost us this year, going to second year? What is our cost?
So we had to add back $8.6
million. $8.6 million this year?
We took out $22 million in 10-11. So of that 22, we need to add back 8.6.
So
we've added it back.
So 8.6 is added back to 2011, 2012, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 2012, 2013, how much we got to add back?
It's about 30.
Yeah, it includes giving across the board raise, so it's $28-30 million.
Okay, so therefore next year we're looking at 12 or 13. How much?
About
30 million.
Okay, so therefore next year budget right now, colleagues, we have $30 million in the hole.
One way to look at it.
$30 million in the hole. Just want to make sure everybody know that. And for the new colleagues now, that is a contract. Regardless if the sales tax go up, if the property tax go up or down, we have $30 million in hold. So we need to prepare this year for that $30 million. I'm trying to make sure everybody aware of their situation. And when you start looking for cuts, we also got to look for how we increase revenue. It's a must and necessity that we need to find out how we can increase revenue. About public-private partnership, that's why it's very important that we as a city, with the swimming pools and with the libraries, with the arts, that we got to be a salesman. We got to sell the city. We got to want people to invest in the city. If they don't invest in the city, next year we'll be sitting here with $30 million in the hole, and at $30 million, I add another $100 million, we'll be at $130 million in the hole before we start the budget next year. So just be aware that we need a market, and we need to sell the city dollars. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Ms. Hunt.
Boy, it's been so long ago that I raised my hand, I'm not sure that I remember what I was going to say. I will try to be brief. I'm looking at this thinking about what my constituents and what residents and taxpayers are going to experience firsthand from the city. And the first thing that came to mind was our 311 system. And I'm glad to see that we're hiring four more folks, because like Ms. Medrano, I call 311 a lot, and I'm on hold a whole lot, and I hear the same thing from my constituents. And that's the primary way that a lot of people interact with the city of Dallas. And so I'm glad we're doing that. I would want to say, if we're updating our technology on that, I think it's absolutely critical. And I brought this up about 3 years ago, wanting to do a mobile app, because so many people have cell phones now and smartphones, and we can take pictures and quickly upload them and show where graffiti is or show a pothole. And we didn't have the technology that would interact with that right. We've got to make sure that our technology will work for that.
We'll
now
do the best we can on that. We're working on that.
Okay. Please keep us updated on that. On streets, I was glad to see that both asphalt and concrete street partial reconstruction and micro resurfacing, all of that, are at the same levels as last year. I still would like us to see if we can, you know, as we look for additional dollars, that's one of the key places I'd like to see us do it, because it's an investment in the future. It means that we're going to have to spend less in the future for major reconstruction if we can invest a little bit more money now. Mary, I was curious, and you don't have to tell me this now, if you could just give an answer for me. I noticed that on page 115 of our book, right-of-way maintenance contracts, again, I was pleased to see that we're staying at the same level on our right-of-way maintenance. We're even hiring, or we're adding an additional full-time equivalent of six or seven, and yet we're reducing the budget by about $3 million. How are we doing that?
Do you remember last year when we took over TxDOT stuff and they hadn't done it in so long that there was dirt in the curbs and there was forest growing? And that is the money that we spent to one-time clean up. And as long as we keep...
So maintaining it,
won't have that expense, and we reallocated it to some of the traffic techs and light bulbs and that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. Street lighting, I was glad to see that's going up by over $1 million. That's very, very, very important, and that's a public safety issue, not just a quality of life issue. Back to these. Aquatic services, again, I'm trying to focus on things that the everyday resident's going to experience. They're going to deal with our streets, with 311, and our parks, I think, first and foremost. I'd like some more information at some point, Paul. Where'd Paul go? At some point, give us a little bit more information about one swim lesson pool. I'd like the numbers on, are we talking citywide? We're just going to have one pool, one swimming pool where swim lessons are going to be provided?
We offer swim lessons at all the pools, but the only one that could really support itself just for lessons only was Fred's. So it opens up in the morning. There's enough business there that it pays to open it up just for swim lessons, and we shut it down. There's no free swim there. There's no program swim, but all the pools offer swim lessons.
Okay, so just to be clear, you're not proposing that we eliminate swim lessons at all the pools
but
one?
Not.
Okay,
no.
I misunderstood that then. Thank you. And, you know, Paul, another issue on the parks that I'm concerned about was the cleanup, litter control, mowing, all of those things. I think we tried to make some strides this year on making sure our parks are clean and in good condition. But, again, I think that's one of the things that people see every day, and that's part of their everyday experience of the city. If our parks look bad, I think that they feel that their city is not working right.
I agree.
And I want us to make sure, I want a lot more information on that, and yours is one of the three requests I made for briefings, but I really want to see us dig down on that, because I want to understand exactly what we're losing. I do not believe that we can make the type of cuts you're talking about through efficiencies. You know, I don't think that we can keep the same level of service and just, you know, efficiency our way out of the funding. So tell me some more about that offline, and let's talk about what we're going to lose, because that's something I really am concerned about. I'm worried about our parks looking bad. And I think, Mayor, I think that's almost it. Let me see. Mary, I want to go back to our streets for 1 second. And the reason I think it's important that we make sure we're investing in the maintenance, I think we've seen a lot of our streets deteriorate over the last 5 years because we haven't done as much basic maintenance as we need. We've got to get out of this mindset that we can do bonds and major infrastructure is going to save us. It's not, and I think that that's borrowing our way out of this, I don't think, is the answer. I think trying to make smaller incremental investments in modest maintenance will save us a lot of money. But I don't want us to have this mindset that we'll be okay, we'll just have a huge bond in a couple of years, and that'll fix our streets. We gotta maintain them.
No, you're absolutely right. The only point I was making was a lot of our streets are beyond that maintenance. What we really need to do is get the ones that need capital work on a bond program and raise our maintenance up over a period of time to the level it needs to be so that you've got that balance. And it does, the maintenance does ultimately extend the life of your streets.
And I'd like to see us, I think I may have written streets down as another briefing, but I'd really like to see us start projecting on what we'd really want from a maintenance budget for streets.
Okay.
Because this is an optimum. What we've got is an optimum.
Absolutely not.
What do we want? And then lastly, going off a point that Mr. Atkins made, I would like us to look at our budget for next year, for the following year, the FY13 budget, and help us understand what our financial obligations are that are already set in stone,
sure,
like meet and confer, and also some of the projected obligations that we believe we'll have, like health-related costs that we know will likely go up, and any other projections that you can make with some degree of certainty,
okay,
so that we know on the expense side, What are the challenges we're going to face 1 year from now? And that may help inform us about how we plan for this year.
Okay, the expense side's reasonably easy to forecast. It's the revenue side that's hard.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Mr. Griggs? I'm sorry, Ms. I know, I get them all mixed up all the time.
Thank you, Mayor.
Ms. Honor. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got five comments and questions. I'll be brief. The first one, the West Dallas Community Court. I've already heard some concerns about the closing of that community court from my constituents in West Dallas in District 3. So I just want to echo Councilmember Haas's remarks in that regard. My second point is on the funding for authorized hearings. Mary, where are we on that right now? Or what's the plan? For CPC, for
don't currently have a plan for that because it's in the BI funds, and we began with historic preservation, putting that in the general fund, and that's the first one we were going to do.
How will it be developed, the plan for this next fiscal year handling the CPC and council funding for authorized hearings?
The only thing stands in your way is general fund money. So if it turns out to be additional revenues before the fiscal year begins,
mm-hmm,
you could probably put some toward that. But again, it's going to have to be a process just like historic preservation, I think, over a couple of years.
So right now with the document that was given to us, this proposed budget, how much funding would there be for authorized hearings?
None. So not the general fund. It's in
so
BI.
The general
fund.
Just in BI. About how many would BI be able to hold during the next year?
Well, it depends on the... I mean, those are y'all's requests.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all drive those, so... And they're all various sizes. Some of them are small, some of them are large, so I can't give you an answer to that. We can look at what's on the list that we know that you have in mind. We can give you a list of how much that would cost. But there's a lot more than we can ever get done in a year.
Absolutely. How many did we get done in this last year?
Because we said we don't have the money to do them, so we didn't do them.
So right now with this budget, we would be on track to keep that same minimal level,
yes,
of authorized hearings.
Yeah.
The year before when we calculated that, it was about $2 million worth of work that we estimated. This last year, over the last 12 months, we've kept that at bay at just a minimal effort.
Well, that's certainly a concern moving forward. The authorized hearings are a great venue for public feedback, and it's critical to get areas rezoned for reinvestment and for development. So how we'll tackle that to get everyone's feedback is going to be an important issue, particularly to the southern sector. My third question would be on the historic districts and conservation. $200,000 is being proposed to be moved into the BI from the general fund. So what's that going to mean for the next year for our historic conservation?
I don't know. Well, it means that instead of the BI supporting it all, $200,000 of it will come from the general fund. So it's a portion of the expense.
Currently there is an effort that we have in the BI fund about $600,000 worth, and that is funded, that is being provided for in that. So it would stay at the same level of service. What we're trying to do is see about getting the beginning of some reimbursement, if you will, from the general fund into to provide for that service. And so the remainder will still be covered within the BI's budget.
Historic districts and conservation districts is something that's important to District 3 and other districts throughout the city of Dallas, bringing in stable neighborhoods. It's been a big part of the success of Bishop Arts. So I'll be continuing to watch that. My next question is pretty short. About how much commercial paper at any given time, or what range of commercial paper does the city have?
We have a program that's limited to 350, is that right?
59.
And we haven't hit that limit yet by any means.
Last would just be a comment. I noticed quite a few supporters are here from the arts, parks, rec centers, and libraries. I know those are taking a hit in this next proposed budget, so we'll be working to do what we can to minimize that. I know in the last decade, the city of Dallas grew 9,000 people or so, 0.78%. So quality of life issues are critical for this next decade and starting out right with this budget. So that's something I'll be looking at. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Gregg. Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mayor. On page 12, okay, all the items on this page, they are supported and they are funded. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Everything?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on our, I got to ask this question again, Mary, on our fire and our dispatch downstairs, and we've changed our dispatch downstairs to you're going to put a new system down there.
Correct? New scheduling. We're proposing
new scheduling.
Yes, sir.
So one of my concerns is that we're changing something that we shouldn't be changing. It's working like it is, and I think they're one of the reasons why we have such a quick response system. They're part of that. I don't want to get another system down there that doesn't work. We did have the Berkshire people down there who said it did work and don't change it. And I don't want to have a safety or security situation that changes from what we've already got. I haven't been shown yet how we save money by changing up that system. So I need to sit with somebody and sit down and let's go through it.
Okay.
Stage by stage. If you don't mind.
And I would never suggest something to you that I thought jeopardized safety.
No, I know. But we're not down there. We don't do it. We're not the ones operating the system. And I'm just from talking with them and what goes on, what they do is very vital, and we don't want to hurt it. Okay. I just had to say that and go there. Okay, page 16. We just went there, didn't we?
What?
Okay, on page 12, 16. Well, I didn't go to 16. All of these items here are also paid for, correct?
Page 12?
16.
16.
And 12.
Yes, sir.
Well,
yes,
they're
sir.
Covered, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Page 28 on our
yes, the water utility?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just like Ms. Cooper brought it up, one of my big concerns is our water reservoirs and where we are with that. And maybe Jody will...
Well, probably probably be better to wait and do a briefing on
okay,
that.
Okay, that's what I'll put down,
that
we do need a briefing on that because I think we've got one coming online, right? A new reservoir.
We're working on.
Okay.
We'll bring that to
but
you.
But that, to me, that's very important that we know where we are with our future water, and and our reserves.
Yes, sir.
So, and I've got that down.
Okay, we'll bring that back to you for a briefing.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and then another problem I've got, and my district's probably pretty big in this, is the flooding and the reservoirs. In my district, the erosions in the district. And we don't have anything in here.
No, sir, it's a capital item, so it has to be in the bond program. Okay. In the 06 bond program, it has to be in the next.
So we have nothing in the budget for it.
Not
right
in the
now,
operating budget, no,
but
sir.
But we will, and we're going to have a big bond come up. And
no, sir.
Big part of it's going to be streets.
I don't believe the next bond program can be very big, and I do think it'll be largely streets and flood control, yes.
Okay, but you feel like we can put flood control.
Yes, sir. We have to.
Okay, and I am for our streets, and on our streets, right now we do have what we had last year.
Yes, sir.
As far as fixing our potholes.
For maintenance, yes,
and our slurries.
Yes, sir.
So we can maintain that.
Yes, sir.
That's another one I think we need to get a briefing on, is where we're going with our new streets and not just patching them.
Okay.
I mean repairing them.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, you had told us that not too far off we're going to have to do that. And I think we're getting pretty close, are we not?
Yes, sir. There'll have to be a lot of streets money in the next bond program.
Okay. So we can do that, though, in that.
Well, that'll be y'all's decision ultimately, yes.
Okay. Okay, Mayor. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Mrs. Grayson.
I'm just going to make one comment and ask one question. The comment is about quality of life issues and how very important they are. Up in my district, where we're at the roof of the city and we're surrounded by suburban communities, we see their quality of life. And so I'm going to say that I want to second what Ms. Hunt and others have said about the parks and making sure that we mow and get that done as frequently as we possibly can. That's really important. You know, when we see the weeds and the grass growing in the medians and in the parks, and the suburban cities have beautifully groomed parks and medians, it's very noticeable, that difference. And one of our most used facilities up in my district is the Preston Ridge Trail. People are on that trail all the time, and the grass gets very high before it gets cut. So I just want to stress how important that is, and that I want to make sure we don't cut that any further and look at perhaps getting back to not having what Mr. Dyer said were just kind of minor cuts. I'd like to have us take a look at trying to put that back. The question I have is related to the number of civilian support personnel cuts that are going to be made in the police department. I think we've said here in our briefing that we're going to cut 100 civilian positions. So 49 of those 100 come out of the police department?
Well, I need to give you a chart because we're mixing up positions and people. 100 people are going to be gone.
Okay.
More positions than that are going to be gone. And basically, we haven't been replacing a lot of people as we've gone through the last 2 years. So just allow me to send you a chart for each department about the impact. Now, we were very careful with the police. I think we left public safety officers in place because they directly help the police in the field. The other positions that are going to be vacant, at any one time they have 30 or 40 officers that cannot be on the street, so they will be, for one reason or another, so they will be doing some of those jobs. But let me send you the whole chart, okay? Because I don't want to mix up positions and bodies.
Okay. That I would like to know.
Okay.
Also, Mary, just to make the point that I know that we always kind of look at police civilian support positions first for cutting, but I just want to make sure that, and I know also that when officers get injured, sometimes they take temporary desk jobs. I understand that. That's how some of those positions get filled. I just want to make sure that we're not using highly trained police officers to sit at a desk and do work that civilians can do, because that is
a waste of money. We're trying not to.
Penny wise and pound
right.
Foolish. And so I want to make sure we're not doing that. In all the years I've been here, we always look first to cutting civilian positions in the police department. So just so I know for sure that we're not putting trained officers at desks
right.
That a job a civilian can do. Okay, at a job
right.
A civilian
absolutely.
Can do.
We're not.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Ms. Alonzo.
Mayor, I just wanted to very, very briefly reiterate that the community towards the West Valley is very important to the community. And our view of the community regarding the disability, one of the tools that they mentioned was the use of support, and that's very important to our community because that's one of the areas where many of us are disabled, and for therefore, we
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I think all of us, we have our concerns, we have our wishes, we have our wants. But I think that one thing that we can talk about and to promote is to buy Dallas. We must not leave our city to go buy furniture or go buy something. We have to buy it in the city of Dallas. And if we can promote that at each and every one of our town hall, budget town hall meetings, that importance of that those sales tax stay in our city and support our city. I think that's the most important thing that we could let them know and inform them and keep on reminding folks to eat and play and shop in Dallas. Thank you. I want to buy a house. Absolutely. You can chime in, add more things. Thank you.
Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to say one more thing. We have on here that we've got, I think it was $18 million for education, and I think that's very important that we keep, and I think we need to build on that and find other ways that we can help our education system and help our school system in this and work with our schools in some way to make our schools the best they can be, and hopefully the city can get involved in that somehow. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cain. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I remembered one quick thing. Mary, would you please create a slide that gives taxpayers an idea of how this budget, particularly our operating budget, stacks up against the last 10 years adjusted for inflation? We really have to see that because this is a smaller budget. A lot smaller, and I think we need that when we're going out and talking to folks about the budget. I think folks need to know we've really tightened our belt over the last 10 years. Thank you.
Thank you. I do have a couple of comments and a couple of questions. First of all, I think that the citizens should be pleased with the quality of our city council people. It's great to see that you've been here and done this before, so the wisdom in going through this budget and the questions you're asking are great. Thank you, Mary, and your staff for crafting something that we can easily see and understand. First of all, I want to applaud you for public safety. I think this is the foundation of the city. We've made a lot of progress, and I, for one, do not want to back up on that. It is key as we go through every aspect of the rest of the budget that we make progress to becoming as safe a city as we can become.
I agree with you, Mr. Caraway, that we need to look for other ways to support and augment from the business world our public safety with cameras and other things like that. I've already met with Better Dallas, Safer Dallas, and to do that. Second, I heard you say, Ms. Soom, that you want to do a briefing on the fire issue since several people asked that, so we'll ask you to do that. Third, I still am longing to be the place where we give AT&T Performing Arts Center the money we suggested we would do when we built that. So that's one of my my hot buttons. Ms. Alonzo, I agree with you on the senior side of the thing, especially here in the Hispanic world that we're being cut and with seniors and it's something. That's one of my questions. Could you give me a little sense of what we do, what do we expect the county to do in regard to the seniors? It's kind of the county's thing.
It would be better if I give you a whole presentation of services. We don't do tons and tons for seniors, but we haven't diminished it this time, and I'll be glad to bring that back to you. I don't want to miss any of the other ways.
But does the county do a lot?
Not particularly.
Not particularly. Okay. That's what I need to know. One thing I think that a lot of private citizens don't know, and I liked where everybody was going with 311, and we have shorter call times, but the ability of 311 and what it provides citizens. I think in the marketing, using marketing parlance, the trial, people that have tried 311 is not as big as it could be. And I think it's a tremendous asset to the city. And so as we continue to strengthen it, we should also continue to market it. So as we're out there in our town hall meetings, speaking about 311 is something I know you guys do, and I would continue do that. Ms. Soom, we talked about code enforcement and cutting people's lawns. I assume that is when they don't cut them themselves. And how much do we spend in that on an annual basis?
Millions.
What do you mean millions?
Well, between $5 million. What we do is we notice somebody, if they have their property and it's not maintained or cleaned, we give them a notice and say, you need to get this done. If it does not get done, we mow them and attach a lien to their property.
Wow. So $5 million for mowing people's private lawns.
Well, it's lots. Vacant lots. It's yards with houses. And it's all sorts of things. But a lot of vacant lots in Ms. Davis' area.
Okay. Well, that's troubling. That's a place we could save a lot of money and use for other things. Paul, we've all asked you to come up here. I need to do that. First of all, I want to make sure that I'm clear. I think Councilman Caraway asked an important question about, are we doing everything we can to get the access for pools? It's something he gave me some coaching on last year as president of the Parks Board, and I want to make sure that I'm clear on this, the information that I had gotten from you before, that we did 175,000 flyers to all the ISD schools. We canvassed door-to-door around three pools, Bonnie Boo, Glendale, and Tommy Allen. We marketed within the rec centers. We put on neighborsgo.com and Waterbill stuffers, right?
Correct.
Okay. We can continue to do more. I think his challenge is a good one, but I think it's important because it's important that we took that information and we actually did something. So, when's your aquatic plan going to be ready to show the city council?
Anytime the council is ready, we're ready to bring it forward.
Okay, and that aquatic plan will take us out to what year? What do you? When you look at this, is this a 1 or 2 year plan, or how long?
It's a 30-year plan. Basically, it replaces the existing aquatic system. The product we have now is not something that the community really
want, based on what we're seeing citywide in attendance and what we're seeing in our studies. As I mentioned, the board did a year-long survey. There's a committee of the board that actually visited some of the aquatic facilities around the Metroplex and came back. We made a recommendation. The board's committee made a recommendation that we go forward with this plan. As I think Ms. Margolin mentioned, there's an opportunity to perhaps fund this with some sale of real estate at Elton D. Roberts or some others, but we definitely need to have a better product out there because our aquatic system is, in most cases, 50, 60 years old.
You know, one of the things that I believe in is make sure we do things right, and I just don't believe we're giving our citizens a high-quality aquatic experience, and they're speaking with their feet at times in that regards. So we'll put you on the agenda, and I think that'll be a good discussion for all of us to have.
Great, we look forward to that.
Two more questions. One, am I clear? Did you say that some of these, how many pools were closed last year that are open this year?
Last year we had seven pools open. This year we opened up 16. And next year, we're proposing 11.
Sorry, last year we had 7 open, and now we've moved it to 16?
16 this year, the current year we're in.
But we closed, you're recommending or reevaluating closing some that were open, of those 7 that were open.
For those 7 that were open, all will be open next year. We had 7 closed, 7 opened last year. And what we said when we came back, if we had to close pools again, we would make sure the ones that were closed last year would be open in the following years if we could only open a partial amount of those pools, a certain percentage. This year they were all open. Then we went, next year we're saying we'd come back and look at those that weren't open.
So. Gotcha. So you're actually, we're talking about this year, and I'm saying last year was when they were closed, and you're kind of rotating
right,
through.
Right, 2010 they were closed.
Okay, thank you. And the last point is, what happened to your headcount here at City Hall in regards to your budget vis-a-vis last year? Did you cut headcount here in headquarters or City Hall last year?
We made administrative reductions last year, and we've made some this year as well.
What do you know what the numbers
were? Four or five positions cut last year. I think we have 3 slated for administrative cuts this year.
Okay. So we dropped it by 7 in 2 years, kind of 7.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Allen, I wanted to clarify something because there's been a lot of conversation with these county prosecutors. I'm sorry, community prosecutors. Thank you. Is there passion around from going from 16 to 14 or how they're organized? Okay. Okay. Thank you. That helps me. Lastly, look, the game's on here. We've got to come up with a budget that we're all going to agree with. We've got to make tough decisions as we do it. One belief I have is that we can never sit still. We must become operationally more efficient all the time. We've got to provide, and that is defined by providing the same services at better cost. And so I would hope that we all do, as Ms. Margolin talked about, bringing amendments forward that we think we can up that productivity. And I look forward to that. That being said, lunch is downstairs. The meeting is now adjourned at 12:19. Thank you very much.